frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a cat. Fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to www.shazoozradio.com, Mad Science. So, with that said, I threw some videos over there in the chat room. If you want to join in on the chat, you can jump over there to www.shazoozradio.com/superchat.html. Where you can not only have the advantage of talking to the Shazoo's radio side of the bunch, but you can also talk to the Awake Radio crew as well. So I threw some videos over there in the chat room, and they all have to do with air conditioning. It's kind of hot out here these days. I got these deals up on the screen right now. trying to stay cool in the summertime can be pretty expensive if you're running like a big heat exchanger, like air conditioning type system. Some of the doggone, what do they call them, man? Central air units and stuff. Gets pretty expensive, but for those folks out there who are, like maybe not as fortunate to have air conditioning, put a bunch of videos in there that have to do with building your own homemade air conditioners. Everything from evaporative cooling to ice coolers. Shoot, man, there's all kinds of different ways that you can make homemade air coolers. Anyway, I put several video links down inside there, so if you get an opportunity, or even at that, you could actually go Google it or YouTube it on there and find a bunch of other links. But there's also one down there that talks about how people in the desert stay cool, kind of way they build their buildings high so that there's a lot of shade down the walk paths, and there's actually air-collecting towers that basically cause a draft throughout the building, which takes me back to a deal that I've mentioned on the show once or twice. That there's a in Jefferson, not Jefferson City, doggone it, trying to think here, it's not Warrensburg, maybe it is Jefferson City.
I'm trying to think, you better break out the fire extinguisher.
Yeah. let me think it. No, it's not Jefferson City. Doggone it, it's right on the tip of my brain and I can't shake it loose. Or right, what's in between us? Warrensburg. Doggone it, they have the Sedalia. There you go. Sedalia, Missouri. There is a castle up there called Bosworth Castle. And they literally built this castle over the top of a cave, and that cave sits inside of a hill. And so as the wind is blowing up and through that cave, it sends the cool air all the way up from the cave up to the top of the building through some ductwork, and then basically falls back down to the through the building. And so when you're inside this building in the hottest day of summer, you'd swear up and down it had air conditioning, but it doesn't. It's pretty amazing, you know, hot heat rises and cold air falls, so that's the concept by which they built that deal. And it's, like I said, it's pretty amazing that absolutely no electricity is used through this entire process of cooling this building down. It's just all the wind, when the wind hits the side of the hill, the draft goes up, and any heat in the building as it's rising creates a draft as well. And you'd swear up and down that that building actually had a central air unit or heat pump system of some sort, but it doesn't. It's just all natural draft of, cool air out of that cave. And so, with that said, I wanted to kind of start off today's show about different ways that you can build air conditioners, little cheapo versions of it, if maybe your air conditioner broke down or whatever. Can't afford to spend a couple hundred dollars for, actually they're probably $300 or $400 depending on what model you buy. Yeah, I think you can get, Walmart's got some pretty cheapo air conditioners these days, about maybe $150 if you get one on sale or something like that. But either way, they're still going to require a lot more electricity. But
it's about $115 usually.
Yeah.
The cheapest thing they've got. And you're still looking at only using it for a few years if it's out in the sun or something like that while it's running each summer before it ends up dying and you got to replace it.
Yeah, and the longevity is probably going to be the best if you can find one that's going to be really good and sturdy. But that's kind of hard to do these days the way they make things. You know, what's that? Planned obsolescence is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it has to break down in order for you to be able to have to buy a new one.
Keep them in business.
Yeah. It's like the light bulb. You could literally build a light bulb that would never burn out. I mean, it could be a...
if they did that, they wouldn't have had to have the corkscrew design to replace them, though, would they now?
The ones with the mercury in there?
No. You screw them into the light socket. That's an Edison design.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I get what you're saying now. It's kind of slipped right past me. You know, you got one that's you can take out with the screw, and if it was never going to burn out, you could basically put it in solid. You never have to change the doggone thing unless somebody broke it somehow.
Yeah, why use a thin sheet of glass over the whole thing blown into a bubble? Why not just make it more like an actual solid, just a solid cavity inside of a flat block?
Yeah.
That way it's never going to break. Since it's never going to burn out, then it's a permanent fixture. You can literally build it as a brick in the building and never have to worry about replacing it.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, on this air conditioning thing, you have to think about in history, there's been a lot of different ways that people stayed cool and actually was able to keep food cool and stuff like that, because air conditioning hasn't always been around. There's one video that I posted over there. It's a couple clay pots inside of each other. In between these two clay pots, they put sand, and then you pour water down in there, and then you put a damp towel over the top of that. And he measures it out, and you can see there's at least a 30-degree temperature difference in just that little gizmo alone, which all these concepts could be actually expanded on if you really wanted to take the time to, you know, to do it. And actually, I would say that a couple of these you could actually combine with each other. Like, for instance, the one that's made with the ice cooler, most generally it's just a fan. They cut a hole in the top of an ice chest and they put a fan in there and they put a big block of ice in there. Well, eventually that ice is going to melt down. And so if you had that set up so that when the ice did melt down, it already had a built-in pumping system that would then circulate cool water through a copper tubing that's on the face of a fan. Now you got two of those ideas all built into one deal. So you're actually cooling it down initially from the block of ice, and then once the water starts to get down to the bottom, a little float will kick on a switch that may be connected to your solar power battery bank or whatever, and pump the water, circulate it through the fan, and run the fan at the same time with the solar power. So there's a couple different little issues out there. And also they've got thermal cooling, which one of the videos I posted in there, I posted this video not because it's the best video in the world, but because it's the simplicity of how this guy shows how he's doing what he's doing. And essentially he's got a long copper tubing, and it's connected to some hose that he then in turn puts down a well that has a lot of sulfur in the water. And so it's really not that great for drinking or anything like that. I'm sure it could be filtered out, the sulfur or whatever, but there's got to be a method to get rid of it. Anyway, but either way, he uses the cooling temperature of the water down inside that well and circulates water from the outside through that tube and then around a coil condenser and basically blows cool air in that way. And another video that I posted in there is a evaporative cooler, where you can actually go out and buy material from the hardware store that actually comes. They really do make evaporative cooler systems. I've got in my hand a box of, it's an old toy that was probably, I would say, late 70s, maybe early 80s. Could be earlier than that. It's called a Humi air cooler, H-U-M-I air cooler, battery operated. And essentially what it is a little box. I actually put this in a video at one point. And it's a little air conditioner. You just got a tray in the top. You put water in the top of the tray. And the top of the tray has little tiny holes that the water drips down to some plates that have like cotton cloth fibers in them. And as that water is dripping down through there, there's a catch pan in the bottom. And you blow the turn the fan on, and it blows the air across the back half of that deal, and you get cold air. And surprisingly enough, the very first time I ever used this little toy was in that video, and I was really shocked at how much cold air actually comes out of this little gizmo. And on this size, that's really not that hard to replicate. You could actually build a larger version of this thing, you know. You could actually build, you know, a shed-sized version of it out there in your yard somewhere, and then use some ductwork and, you know, run it into your house. It's pretty impressive. One of the things the guys talked about inside the one video that I posted where he made the large version with this material is that he actually had it set up on a frame that was setting in his window and didn't have a fan connected to it. And he was talking about how you don't want to put the fan in front of this evaporated cooler. You want to put it behind so that it doesn't take air in and out of your house. It only brings it in. And that drops the temperature down. And he had, like, maybe it was 100, I think he said 100 degrees temperature outside, and it was about, say, 68 or 69 inside. So that's a pretty good drop, wouldn't you think, Thomas? Nope, yeah.
I don't know, man. I can't tell from underneath the bus here.
Ah! Well, did you check for any oil leaks while you were down there?
Yeah. 30 degrees is supposed to be the limit with most central heat and air units.
Well,
the difference between the inside and the outside.
If you can get that 30 degree temperature difference, that's a big deal when you're talking about trying to stay cool, man.
Yeah, it can be the difference between being incredibly uncomfortable and almost unable to survive. So
yeah,
it's 115 outside, you know.
Well, anyway, for personal, on your person kind of deal, if you go on eBay and you put in the search term cooling scarf, you'll find a non-toxic neck and arm cooler scarf. It's called ice cooling wrap, tie, headband, towel, bandana, whatever. Basically what's inside this, I'm not exactly sure of the actual material itself. But I've got one right now soaking in a cup. But I've had this for several years, and if you have them for a long time and you don't use them, they kind of dry out, so it takes a little bit longer. But normally what you do is you take these scarves and you'll stick them down in a bowl of water and they'll puff up, and then you put them around your neck, and you'd be surprised at how cool you will actually stay by wearing this scarf. And it lasts quite a long time as far as how long it'll cool you. And then whenever it starts to get dried out and warm, all you got to do is run it under the water again, and you're ready to go a second time around. But these things are I see them here on eBay, $1.15 free shipping, and there's a bunch of different versions of there. You can buy a 10-piece personal hand neck cooler scarf for like $6.60. You get 10 of them. So I think, you know, for like emergency use, these things would be something, you know, worth getting a hold of, because I can testify I've used them before. You know, there's plenty of them out here on eBay I'm looking at right now. All different colors and everything like that. So, you know, if you want to like not have it clash with your clothes, so to speak. Personally, I don't care whether it clashes or how stupid I look. As long as it's keeping me cold, I'll wear it. You know, like those, you ever see those doggone hats that have a little fan built into them? Wouldn't bother me none to wear it. Now, actually, I've seen some, they got these battery-operated neck air conditioners that blow air across your neck, man. So, you know, I guess it's up to your own personal choice what you wear. See, I got this one right now. It's pretty, looks like it's ready to go. I'm going to put it around my neck. These things, well, actually kind of make it cold, too, after a while. So, you know, if you want to try to stay cool in an emergency, these would be worth getting a hold of, because they actually do work. Yeah, I got it around my neck, man. It's like chilly. But that noise you hear in the background is my fan going. See, I went from one hot room to another hot room. So we had to shut our main air conditioner off in the main house because it needs to be recharged with Freon. So we had to go out and buy some of these cheapo air conditioners. I think that's probably what provoked me to talk about heating and cooling and stuff. So, that's the way it goes, man. You know, and these air conditioner units that I have on the side of my house are big old industrial strength air conditioner units, and they're not going to be cheap to have fixed. I can't remember what the guy said price wise per hour, but it was like I said, I could go out and buy me an air conditioner for that. So that's what I did.
Right.
So we're not running central air in the house right at the moment. We got air conditioners in separate rooms, which escalated my light bill to a $551 for 1 month light bill. That hurts, man.
Yeah, I bet.
So, I tell you, like I said before, until I am ready to go off the power grid, I want to take everybody else off the power grid with me. I'm going to suffer and I'm going to pay the bills just like everybody else until I get it accomplished where I can sit there and I show you I'm getting ready to flip the switch and the breaker's going off and the power's staying on. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm going to pay the bills. And then whenever it's all said and done and I can prove exactly what I've been saying all along, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to show people the light bill. This is what I was paying. This is what I'm paying now. So there ain't going to be no ifs, ands, ors. Nobody going to be able to come in there and start jaw-jacking a bunch of smack on me. I'll be able to prove exactly what I say and show a before and after light bill. And then that's that, man. So I'm going to do it. And I'm basically, I'm going to do it with style. Alright, so anyway, there's several different videos over there that I posted links in there about cooling. You know, there's also a method. I tried to find the video, but I couldn't find the video. If you have a piece of ground and you have access to a 30-foot culvert pipe and a backhoe, you can actually bury that doggone pipe down whichever direction that your wind normally blows. You know, like some north, south, or east to west, whatever, whichever, wherever vicinity you're in, you'd want to face one of that one end of that pipe in the direction that your wind normally either comes out of north or south or wherever. And essentially, you bury that about you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 feet down in the ground. And what happens is when the wind blows, that warm air outside actually goes down in the ground that creates some sort of moisture between the temperature difference. And so you'll actually at some point actually have some water up inside there. But it won't be completely full because neither end's going to, you know, allow for that to fill up. It's going to be out of the ground, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And as the wind blows through one end, it goes down through the pipe, cools the air down, and then blows up into your house. So all you have to have is one fan, which you could actually run off of solar in order to basically cool your house down. And it worked it off of the same exact concept as the Bosworth Castle up in Sedalia, Missouri, that actually has a cave up underneath there. Now, if you got access to a cave, then you got it made. You pipe that air up out of that cave and into your house. Now I'd probably make sure that the cave didn't have a bunch of creepy crawlies in there and put a screen or whatever. Or you wouldn't want no unwanted guests showing up for dinner, so to speak. Big giant snake or something.
Beside that your dinner?
Yeah. And so, also, if you actually live anywhere near a doggone waterfall, you really got it made. You know, it could be hotter than heck outside. If there's a waterfall anywhere, try it sometime. You ever stood next to a waterfall in the middle of summertime? Man, you freeze standing next to a waterfall. If you're like me, I'm cold-blooded, but, you know, there's a automatic draft coming through there because of the temperature difference from the air outside to the air inside. You get the really good evaporated cooling going on, and so you could actually use that waterfall or even build you a man-made waterfall outside. You know, put it into your especially if you live in some sort of freaky homeowners association where they'll let you have some you know, landscaping, but they're not going to let you have like a toilet with flowers in it out in the front yard. So, basically build you a really cool looking waterfall out of some, you know, beautiful stone and put some plants around it or whatever, make it look really nice, and the rest of the neighbors will like it and they'll build them one, and then you'll notice the temperature in your neighborhood seems to be dropping down because of that waterfall. But you see, you'd be a little bit wiser about it. Behind that waterfall, you put some duct work that will take some of that cool air off of that water as it's falling down through there and bring it up into your house. At the very least, supplement your energy bills that way. What do you think, Thomas?
I don't know. I don't think that would work very well here in Oklahoma.
What's wrong with Oklahoma? Is it too hot?
Yeah. It gets up to like a stage where it's almost 95 degrees even in the dead of night. Well, coldest part of the night.
Even at that, cold water falling is still going to be difference in temperature.
It ain't going to change the air enough to really matter when it's already 115.
So how do you guys stay cool over there, man?
During the dead of summer, central AC running continuously just to basically survive.
Hey.
You don't stay cool, you just survive.
Well, do they sell ice blocks anywhere near you?
I don't know of any place that sells ice blocks. You can buy dry ice. Some, or you used to be able to, at least. I don't know if you still can or not, like at Walmart and a couple other stores like that. They have like a big chest up by the front door. You can buy a block there, but I mean, here it doesn't last very long.
Well, I was just saying, like, you could duct tape it to the side of your neck and that'd keep you cool.
But yeah.
If you're talking about dry ice, you don't even have to use duct tape. That stuff will stick to you anyway.
I think the only way you could really stay cool here is if you had a completely underground home, you know, that's deep enough that basically the seasonal changes don't affect that portion of the earth.
Well, you should do at least some experiments, man, just to see if you can get a temperature difference with a waterfall, because I still think that if it was done right, you could actually have your ductwork behind the waterfall and be able to draft some of that cool air up into your house.
You could probably do that other places, but I don't think it worked very well here.
Well, there's only one way to prove science, and that's to try it before you deny it, brah.
The issue is not that it doesn't make the air cooler, it's that the differential between what you're starting with and what it can basically convert it down to, you know?
Yeah.
And living someplace. I mean, that's like saying, hey, why don't you try it before you deny it? Well, we live on the sun, so.
Well, is there is it like 1,000 degrees even in the shade over there? And where you at?
It's pretty hot. Like I said, in the dead of night, at the coldest part of the night, it can be literally as hot as 95 degrees.
Man. Well, you know, there is.
And that's during the summer. During the winter, then it turns around and, you know, drops down to 15 below zero.
There is one other financially plausible solution. That's the word I was looking for. Solution for your plight.
You know, nope.
Yeah, man. Like, get you a U-Haul truck. Wait till it gets nighttime when it's like a little bit cooler, and load that truck up. And
well, don't get me wrong. During the spring and the fall, the whole like month and a half. In the fall and the month and a half in the spring, there's actually some nice weather for about 3 months out of the year.
Yeah. Well, down here in the land of misery, the doggone wintertime is colder than Hades, and the summertime is hotter than Hades, and then every once in a while you get...
Have you ever gotten a foot of ice that has fallen from as water and then frozen over everything, so there's literally a foot thick layer of ice all over everything?
No, we've had some serious ice storms, and we've actually had some serious snowstorms. You know, that's one of the videos.
What's
I
the
did.
Longest your power's been out from ice storms snapping the power lines?
I think around here it's probably the longest, maybe a day, because they're pretty on it when it comes to the power company out here, because these folks around here, they won't give the power company any room to breathe. If the power goes out, they'll be calling and calling and calling and showing up at the front door and saying, you better get that power back on. Tell you what.
We've literally had a year where the ice, an ice storm knocked it out. It did such a bad job of what it did to the entire state that it was out for over a month. In the middle of downtown Tulsa.
Man, that's terrible. That's during the heat wave or...
No, it was an ice storm that knocked it out.
Oh, well, either way, that's bad. You're either going to be colder than heck or you're going to be hotter than heck.
Mm-hmm.
That stinks, man. See, and there's another reason for the whole alternative energy deal there. It's that just for just such an emergency, because you never know what nature's going to throw at you. You get some doggone heat wave coming through and trying to stay cool. You know, there's methods out there that you can use. And this little scarf thing that I've been talking about, it's still around my neck, still staying cool and everything. And, you know, if you can keep your body cool, then, you know, who cares about the rest of the house? Except maybe your refrigerator.
That sounds like politician talking, man.
Yeah. It's like a Congressman Bongwater, man. Elect him and he'll screw you on taxes. At least he's honest, man. You know? He's not telling you, you elect me and I'll get rid of taxes. No, he's flat out telling you he needs more credit cards and he's going to screw you on taxes. He's going to get elected so he can get control of that government money.
Right. It's kind of like the bum sitting on the side of the road with the sign that says, need money for beer.
Yeah. Well, see, I would have to give that man some money because at least he's brutally honest. So look, if you give me money, I'm not going to go buy food or clothes. I'm just going to go get liquored up and come back out here with my sign.
Yeah.
More money.
You've seen those high-tech bums, too, on the side of the road. Will code HTML for food.
No, I hadn't seen that one. But I did see a documentary where one guy was, he had a brand new Cadillac, I can't remember if it was a DeVille or an Eldorado or something like that. Really fancy looking Cadillac, right? And he would park his Cadillac around the deal in a paid parking lot, and then he'd go around the corner dressed like a bum and collect money, and then he'd go back later on, get in his Cadillac and drive on home.
Have a limo stop by and pick him up.
Professional bum. See, that's not bad. You know, you got to give the man credit. But, you know, that's not to say that there aren't real people out there suffering, and they're not bums. They're people that need help,
right.
You know. And so, you know, we can laugh about guys that, you know, say, we'll work for beer, or maybe I won't work for beer, but if you give me money, I'll go buy some beer.
Right.
Anyway, that's, it's kind of like Congressman Bongwater. You know, Congressman Bongwater obviously isn't a serious guy, but it is like a mockery of the system that we find ourselves at the displeasure of having to live with, because the politicians will come out and they will say whatever they have to say to get elected, period. And they don't care if you're dead. You can still vote for them.
Doing the back and forth, man.
Yeah. So I'm there, like, trying to talk common sense to a lot of these knuckleheads out there.
For them.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They don't care about what the neighborhood looks like, whether somebody's living in the squalor or, you know, it's a slum.
Well, they don't, as long as it doesn't look like that where they're at, they don't have to see it from where they're at.
Out of sight, out of mind. That's the policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the general view of what they want. It's like the homeless community. You know, there's cities that have hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are homeless. And they always say they pass vagrancy laws so that if you ain't living in a house or you're sleeping on a park bench, that they can have a reason to throw you in jail to get you out of the view of the elite. That's pretty dirty, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you shouldn't treat people like that.
Psychopathic.
But that's unfortunately the world that we live in. That's why this radio show, as far as I'm concerned, is important. Give people ideas of different things that they can do. I mean, there's a lot of recycled materials out there that people could actually, and in reality, some people do. There are communities where, you know, they end up getting bulldozed over or whatever, but there's communities that people go out and get old boxes and whatever to build little shanty towns, I guess is the word would be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in my view, it's another sad part that society would allow, you know, these folks to even fall through the cracks like that, you know. You should be out there trying to help people up. There was one community that I saw a documentary on where the state actually went and built some, had some prefab houses built. They were like those kind of like trailer kind of things that had their own, you know, porta potty kind of deals with them. And they basically built a little town for the homeless.
Right.
You know, but once again, you know, at least that's something as opposed to nothing. I mean, you know. There shouldn't be no reason for all this craziness going on out there in this world. We have so much. This world has been blessed with so many resources, so many possibilities, and the access to technology that we have available to us as far as what we're using right now.
Would that be one of those things where the catchphrase for the century should be, never before has so much been used to do so little?
Yeah. That would be a really good bumper sticker, man. We should start a bumper sticker campaign. We're always talking about trying to raise some honest money for you know, projects and the deal. Maybe we could get a hold of one of them bumper sticker printers and actually make our own bumper stickers and offer them out to the people and see how that goes. What do you think?
Be pretty funny.
Yeah.
in a kind of a sad way. Put something like that out.
Well, and you know,
not the bumper sticker, but just that specific phrase on a bumper sticker.
Yeah, and put questions on there. You know, if you want to know how to save the world, ask me. I got some ideas. You know, something like that, some sort of really catchy phrase that, you know, people see. You know. Unfortunately, the way that I see a lot of the world out there today, people's attention span is so incredibly short, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many distractions.
New t-shirts, too. So.
Now, every so often, somebody will stumble onto a video, and they'll see something sad going on into the world, and they will respond to it, and then after a while, you know, basically go on about life again. Now, I saw a video probably about maybe a week ago or less that really disturbed me really bad, and it had to do with gold mining and like in the Philippines, how these children were being used to go down. They basically have a big old hole in the ground, and the hole was filled up with water, and they'd use these air pumps and the hose, and the kid would get in there and basically dive down 10, 20, 30 feet under the ground in these, essentially like a well, and dig dirt out underneath there to bring to the surface so that they could pan for gold. And also there were processes by which is they were using mercury and other forms of gold mining in the same place. And of course, you know, the health effects of mercury aren't something you want to play around with. And so I'm looking at this video, and I start watching a bunch of other videos and about child labor and stuff, and it's kind of, you already know a lot of stuff's going on. You know what's happening in what they classify as third world countries. And you really want to do something about it. But what's the average Joe, outside of making a comment on a video hoping to spark some sort of you know, deal to get everybody together on solving all these issues? What what do you think the average Joe could actually do to try to solve stuff like this? You know, there's a lot of charities out there that, you know, you give them 99 cents a day for whatever, for 30 days, and they said to help feed the, you know, you adopt a child somewhere. All right, well, then you don't know how much of that money is actually going to the person, but some folks will actually do this to ease their conscience, so to speak. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, they may not even be getting it, you know? It's a really sad state of affairs, because if things like this are really happening in this world, I mean, if these kids that are in the Philippines are actually having to go through this stuff, and the dad said something about he had to earn about at least $30 a day in order to be able to feed his family properly, you know? And he said if he could find a job that would pay him $30 a day, then his son could go back to school and he wouldn't have to be diving down in there, you know? And as a father, I would just be devastated. I wouldn't be able to risk my child's safety by putting them down in that hole, period.
Right.
I'd have to find some other solution, you know, and there's another part of, sad part of society, the reason why some folks may end up going to a life of crime is for just that reason, you know? You think about things that you wouldn't do under normal circumstances, but then you think about what you would have to do under other circumstances, like, you know, all heck breaks loose and you can't get no food for your kids. Are you going to sit around and watch them starve, or are you going to go out and forage and hunt, or, you know, even worse, go out and rob from the rich and give to the poor, so to speak? You see what I'm saying? That's a It's sad that people are actually put in that position to where they actually have to even contemplate on doing something like that. We know there's a potential of emergencies going on, like weather. You know, you never can tell when an earthquake's going to pop, or a tornado, or a hurricane, a tidal wave, tsunami, or whatever. You know, nature is pretty powerful, and every once in a while nature will kick up. But if we were prepared ahead of time as a world community, as opposed to individual pockets of people, and even that, you know, I don't necessarily say that everybody has to all live together and move before the weather gets bad kind of thing, but at least if you have a backup plan, so if somebody is unfortunate enough to have a disaster, everybody can rush in and, you know, take care of them, help them clean it up, and get their life back in order. But if we were smart about this whole deal, we could literally build houses that were in flood zones that were, you know, basically ready. If the flood comes in, your house floats up on stilts, and when the water goes back down, your house goes back down. It's not a new concept. They do it down by the river all the time. Even the garage where the car is parked in, it's basically like a pontoon boat. You park your car in the garage, if it floods overnight, your car is lifted, your house is lifted, the power line's on a springy cord where it'll rise up, and when it's all said and done, it'll come back down. Just wait for the mud to dry up. There's so many options. And in the world that we live in, there shouldn't be nobody having to live in a mud hut unless they so choose to want to live in a mud hut. Maybe some folks think that's a good life, you know. You have to ask them what they want. But if they want a better life, then they should be able to have access to it, I would think, anyway.
Right.
You know, the king sitting up in the castle there, eating well, and everybody brings him everything he needs because, you know, we got to keep the king safe, and, you know, we got to protect the king, so he's got his own army and all that kind of stuff. But what about the average Joe? They ain't got their own army. Or do they? You know, we the people, you know. We the people are that person's army. You know, I talk about the U.S. Constitution a lot. I talk about, you know, what the founders actually meant. And there's three letters that are in bold, emboldened on that Constitution that stand out, and it clearly states that because they wanted to ensure that the people knew and the government knew where the power was intended, and essentially that was we the people. So before everybody goes out there and starts a revolution and tries to destroy the system, I think that the first they need to understand is that, you know, where the power was initially handed to, you know, and that it's right there, man. It's laid out for you. And the same thing would apply with society, that if you have energy ideas out there and you take these ideas and you put them in action to communities that can't afford, extremely high electric bills or whatever, set them up a solar panel. Set them up one of these little cooler things so that at least they can live in comfort. You know, a lot of this stuff could be recycled. You could get, you know, from thrift markets or whatever you call them, thrift stores or flea markets. You can buy some of the materials to do this. Maybe the only thing you'd have to really purchase would be the copper tubing or something for one of these ice coolers or stuff like that. You know, or, you know, the evaporated cooling systems. Muddy was talking about some time back about taking a blanket and making one out of that. You know, one of them old wool blankets, something. You see what I'm saying?
Nope, I can't see anything right now. The lights are out.
Oh, well, the power off in Arizona now? Well, the only other thing is, don't they have, like, in some of the tropical place, don't they have these, like, big giant banana leaves or something like that we could sit around fanning each other with? Muscle power, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just move too closer to the big bodies of water, you know?
Well, there's another thing, you know. I mean, granted, when somebody picks out a piece of land and they call it home, you know, maybe it's not the most hospitable place. Like, some people like to live in the desert. Some people live out there in Alaska. And some people live even further out than that, where it's like frozen all year round. You know?
Well, those people, I say, if you move someplace, it's just feels awful to live out there because it's the weather and whatnot is awful, then, you know, stop complaining.
Yeah, well,
stop trying to change the weather. You know, that's like basically marrying somebody because you want to change them into what you want. No, just find a person that already is the type of person you want, and then, you know, marry that person and leave the other person alone.
Yeah, that's one thing.
We're trying to make people change, you know.
That's one thing that's amazing about nature is the diversity of it. If you like a certain temperature, find out, do a little bit of research and find out, you know, what's closest to your likes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like online dating, man. Find something that matches you and move there. You
right.
know? And for those folks out there that don't, are not able to move, you know, because they actually have no options or finances to do so, then what's to stop the world from, you know, helping them move? You know, some folks, they don't want to move, you know. They just want to be comfortable. But, you know, it's all about, you know, what we could actually do for each other, man.
Well, I was going to say, you just use that critical word. They don't want to do this. They want this. They want that. Well, you know, what is that saying about wishing in one hand?
Yeah, I know. But see, The whole thing is, I know there's a lot of folks out there that expect everything to be just given to them and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not right. But at
what's,
the same
what's
sense,
the, what's the phrase? God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
I'm supposed to meet them halfway, that sort of thing.
I think that you could use critical thinking to find out the folks that are really in need and seriously assist them, you know, and you could also...
Well, it's not even that. It's a matter of basically figuring out which ones that if you do offer to help them, it's going to stick versus the ones that are just a dark hole that you can throw all the resources you want down that dark hole and it'll just all disappear and do no good.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, man. It's kinda, and then there's like scam artists out there. Like, remember a long time ago, there was an episode where they were talking about they needed some school books in a certain part of the world. And when we tried to offer to send them school books, they essentially wanted money instead, you know?
Yeah, they made every excuse in the book, in the rule book, to divert it into, just send us money. Send us free money. Money. Like, you said you needed school books. You didn't say you needed money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You'd been honest and just said, hey, I need some money. Can somebody help me out? We probably would have put some money together and sent it to them, but they didn't. They tried to scam us.
Yeah, that's the difference, you know. And it's sad that this world is that way, you know. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, leading by example isn't as hard as it sounds. It's just that if you really truly believe in something and you... I hate this phrase, but I'm going to have to use it anyway. You know, if you talk the talk, then you walk the walk. I mean, that gives me a bad... I feel like I'm going to vomit in the back of my neck every time I hear that phrase or even say it. But even though I can't stand the phrase, it's true, you know. Practice what you preach, that kind of deal.
Right.
You know, but if you practice what you preach and you lead by example, others will see your success and they'll follow. You know, and that's why I think that this world could actually be turned around. You know, I think that we could actually, if we really seriously wanted to make it happen, it could happen. You know, the alternative is we keep going down the same path. And if indeed at some point in history there were other societies that got so advanced that they're in their technology that they literally destroyed themselves because of stupidity, then we're on the road to repeating that. And if it wasn't that case, if it was a natural disaster or even old Planet X or the Nibiru coming from outer space to get us, you know, and blast us in the face with meteorites or whatever, you know, or a big solar flare lighting up the planet, however it goes, you know, if mankind is ever to survive any impending apocalypse or avoid any World War III or whatever, you know, it was said at one point in time that every war was like the war to end all wars, and yet here we still are doing battle with one another again somewhere on this globe, or flat earth, whichever, might even be concave or convex, I don't know, man. People are driving me nuts with that stuff. Do you think the world's flat? Well, I'm not sure. I asked my wife that, and she said, is your head flat? Oh, man. It just, you know, I see we got all the stuff we need. We got all the possibilities. And, you know, even though financially wise, I can't send everybody an air conditioner. If I could, I would. There's little ideas right there that at the very least would help to, you know, keep you a little bit cooler or a little bit more comfortable that could actually be made on the cheap with some recycled stuff. You know, that's another thing. There's a lot of different groups out there. One called like Craigslist. They have a free spot on there, and there's a freesomething.com. Can't remember what that is. Freecycle.com.
Freecycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can get on there, and there are tons of stuff that people want to get out of their garage, but they don't just want to throw it in the trash, and so you call them up, and they'll let you have it. All you got to do is come get it or something, you know? And maybe there's other folks out there that have something that they just want to trade with somebody, you know? Something you might have that you're not using might want to trade with them. But either way, there are resources out there available. I mean, if you really seriously wanted to get into it and had a piece of property, you could build a house off of just things that you got given to you from websites like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Old roofing material or barn tin or plywood or 2x4s, whatever. You'd be surprised at what a lot of folks have given away whenever they're trying to get rid of it. You know, a lot of people in maybe middle class to upper class societies, they get things in their garage and they'll go out and donate them to whoever just to get rid of it so they can park their Maserati or BMW, whatever, inside the garage instead of outside.
You just got to be careful. Someone is not giving something that one of the other relatives it belongs to, and have them breathing down your neck.
Oh yeah, like as they say, free big plasma screen TV or something like that, and you get there and it's like stealing the box and have somebody's credit card receipt stuck to it. You might want to question that.
Yeah.
What's this, man? I thought you said your name was Fred.
Yeah. Can you show me some ID?
Yeah, that's that kind of stinks whenever you got to, like, be careful about stuff like that. But you'd be surprised. Somebody getting mad at somebody, a relationship broke up, you go over there to get something free and end up getting jailed on the way out because you're in possession of stolen merchandise.
Yeah.
Oh,
receiving,
man.
Stolen goods.
Yeah, that's it. Receiving or possession, whatever. Either way, you know, I think that for the most part, most of the world's good, but there are options out there. And alternative energy, you know, there are recycled solar panels that you can buy that may not be, like, say, the ones that Raymond got. These things literally were rolled up like a carpet, man. All the aluminum framing was ripped off of them. These were rolled up like a carpet, and Raymond brought a couple of these out there, and I've had them laying out there in the yard, in the rain, through the snow, and to this very day, those things still produce electricity. Alright? Haven't done anything to them. Haven't tried to seal them up or nothing. Just left them just as they were when Raymond got here. I rolled them out, and eventually the sun flattened them out. You know, they got hot, and they just laid flat. And every once in a while, I got to go out there and weed eat the grass off the top of it because everything grows really good around it. And they're still producing electricity to this very day. It's pretty amazing how durable some of these things are. But you can get recycled solar panels out there. All you got to do is get out there and look, folks. You got access to this world wide web. Use it. I mean, there's a lot of folks that aren't mechanically inclined that YouTube up a lot of video, including myself. I'm mechanically inclined, but if I'm not positive on how to do something, I can jump up there and see if somebody's put a how-to video out there. And, you know, you could download some of them how-to videos, print out some photos or whatever off the deal, and make you a little guidebook for the next time you got to do it. It's, I mean, it's unlimited. We're sitting here on a pile, a gold mine of information, and if used properly, there ain't nothing we couldn't solve. We could resolve all these problems. Communities that need fresh water, we know how to make water filters. Communities that need air conditioning and heating, we know how to do all that. You know, all you have to know is some basic science. Heat rises, cold air falls. You can make your house at the very least more efficient by putting the heat where it belongs at the bottom and the air, cold air at the top. You know, it's as simple as that. A lot of these houses, including the one I'm in right now, this one has the AC unit that goes all the way through the ceiling. Well, the heating unit also goes all the way through the ceiling. So in the wintertime, it's not nowhere near efficient like it should be because the idiots who designed it put the heating in the ceiling.
Or somebody was just being cheap and they decided they didn't want to set two separate duct systems up.
Yeah.
Saving money at your expense.
And the idiot who bought it
didn't bother to check.
Yeah. So either way, I could actually remedy that pretty doggone easy. But
ceiling fans. Oh.
Yeah. Ceiling fans, or you know, run some new duct work into the floor, that kind of stuff. I actually built me an outside wood burner that has a circulation system that it blows the hot air out in through the window and circulates the cold air off the ground and up and through the air box and in the deal, and it works pretty doggone good, man. I mean, we don't freeze during the wintertime. Burn a little bit of firewood and run a couple little electric heaters, and we're good to go. And it's gotten pretty cold out here a few times. But that same system out there that I use to burn firewood with could also be used to supplement my water bill as well. You know, all I'd have to do is run some tubing around that outer layer of that wood stove and then into my water heater, and as long as that thing was circulating through there, it wouldn't freeze up. It would keep the water temperature and the hot water heat on so that it never had to kick that element on and waste electricity. So there's ways that I could actually make my house more efficient, but I'm not looking for efficiency right at the moment. I'm looking for straight up off the grid, you know, ready to go that the average Joe can use instead of, you know, having to modify everything under the sun. But in the meantime, modifications is the best that we got. So that's why all these videos that I keep posting out there. These other videos, like, you know, how to make a cooler, air conditioner out of an ice cooler, you know, those are good to know things in case of an emergency. Because you should be able to come up with 12 volts of electricity off of a car battery. I mean, everybody should have a car battery or be able to know where they can get one, or even a little cheapo solar panel to keep the car battery charged up. So that's why I stick down there in the 12 volt range, because just about everybody and his brother can come up with 12 volts to run something. And with enough batteries in your bank, you know, you buy you some more time for every battery you add to that bank. You see what I'm saying?
I told you I can't see anything through all this tailpipe smog, man. Underneath the bus, man.
Well, you gotta stay up out from underneath that bus, man.
Somebody would stop kicking me under there.
You're gonna get grease on your face or in your hair. I don't know, in some communities that might be a good thing. It could be like that that cold cream people put on their face to get rid of you know, acne or aging wrinkles. I don't know, man. All I'm saying is that if you are out there and you're in a position to where you can't afford to buy an air conditioner, there are other methods out there, and building a little homemade waterfall wouldn't be that doggone hard. All you have to do is have your little pond pump and maybe some PVC plumbing or something, and or garden hose for that matter, and build you some sort of deal where it pumps the water up on a platform and then lets it flow over the side back down into your reservoir, and that falling of the water will create some cool air going on. And doing it like the little Humi air cooler that I mentioned earlier, it's a toy. It runs off of 2C batteries, and man, you'd be surprised at how much cold air actually comes out of that thing. It's impressive. And they actually sell large versions of this in stores that, you know, they're called evaporative coolers and dehumidifiers. And so, you know, whereas they might be a little bit more expensive or could be in the general range, depending on where you buy them, of what the air conditioner would cost, the plus is that it doesn't use as much electricity as an air conditioner because it doesn't have a compressor. It just has the fan to deal with. So there's one solution right there that's on the cheap and could actually be made on a small scale. You know, you could take a bath towel and, you know, a bucket and a little pump, and maybe a couple wire coat hangers and a bucket or something like that, and build you a little rack to hang that towel on, stretch it over that bucket with a fan, and just pump the water up over that towel. Well, as that towel is drying out, the evaporation and the fan blowing through there would actually create a cooling effect. Is it going to be as good or as, you know, cold as an AC unit? Probably not, but I would say that any little bit is going to be better than nothing at all. What do you think? I don't know. I'm still under the bus, man.
I know they get away from you.
Yeah.
Watch out for Shazuz. He likes to trip you when you're walking by the bus, man.
Yeah, especially right about the time it's getting ready to take off, man. That's not very nice of me, I guess. Anyway, there's a couple other ones that I put in there, too, that one was made out of old recycled, like, styrofoam and a little small pump. It's a whole how-to video. He pretty much glues it all together right in front of you. But, you know, on a small scale, cheap version, there are plenty of methods out there to at least make a little personal cooler for yourself. Let's see, what else did I put up in there? Gotta go up and see.
Start giving a Hank Hill response. Yep.
Yep, there you go. See, that's another thing, too. If you just didn't want to talk, all you had to do is push that little button on there. I sell propane accessories. Funny thing is, what was the makeup of propane again? Where you at, Hank? What's the makeup of propane? What's in propane?
Oh, now you're trying to throw Hank under the bus?
Yeah, I'm trying to throw Hank under the bus. Where's he at? He said it earlier. He said what propane was made of.
Carbon and eight little hydrogen atoms called propane.
See that? A little bit of carbon and eight little hydrogen atoms makes up propane. Imagine that. Hydrogen technology. Huh. I wonder what that's all about. I would submit that maybe that little bit of carbon inside that hydrogen keeps that thing a little bit more stable than it would be if you was just running direct hydrogen. What do you think? Am I wrong?
I don't know. Are you talking about some other type of gas or something?
Propane.
Like maybe butane?
Mm-hmm. Like if you use straight up hydrogen, that's a pretty volatile, too much hydrogen pile, you know. You get a really powerful implosion. But
right.
With propane, it'd be more stable, I would think.
Mm.
Talking about as far as not as volatile. The difference between kerosene and gasoline.
Well, why not just go all the way then and go back to crude oil until you're ready to burn it?
Yeah.
Crude oil is pretty stable.
But then you'll have the green freaks after you because you're burning a big old black soot coming and rolling up out of
it. Hey, it's all in how you break it down before you burn it.
Yeah, there's a reason why a tire fire is so hot, folks. Anyway, I just thought whenever Hank said that earlier, I thought that was worth mentioning because hydrogen technology is one of the ones that everybody likes to... not everybody, just the troll skis out there, you know, they like to say, you can't get enough hydrogen to do nothing and stuff, you know, so that's why we're in here. If it was going to be possible, they'd
already done
it.
Oh, you're talking about electrolysis.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, you try that little trick I was talking about.
Which
run hydrogen over charcoal and burn it. And then run the oxygen over the remaining hydrogen and carbon slurry that you get from burning the carbon and hydrogen together to burn it again, burn it twice.
Yeah, we'd mentioned that as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the firewood, man. There is no waste in firewood. If you use it properly, you wouldn't even have no soot coming out the top of it. You could capture all the waste coming out of the top. But one of the things that you'll
note... Catch waste and use it to make graphene.
Yeah. One of the things that you'll note, and you go to look at the end of buying you a fireplace, they'll talk to you about creosote. And that's something you don't want to build up in your chimney because it's flammable. I remember one time I was standing out back during the wintertime, and I heard this big old kapow, and it was like my wood stove, the chimney plugged up. And built pressure up in behind there, and it was like a freaking shotgun going off when that chimney popped. All that crud. And I've actually had a fire in the chimney of that doggone thing. That's why I built an outside wood burner as opposed to an inside one for just such an emergency. And it's far enough away from the side of the house that if the chimney gets on fire, all I gotta do is let it go out. You know, instead of having, you know, the worst case scenario. But either way, the point
homeless,
is Yeah. Either way, the point is that after you burn that firewood, you got fuel right there inside the doggone stack, man. So, if a person wanted to be smart about it, you could actually find a way to take, and instead of that creosote building up in the actual the chimney itself, divert it on through some filtration systems and recapture some of that crud and reburn it. I think that's, you know, it's like those rocket stoves that they build out of coffee cans and stuff. They take the smoke, circulate the smoke back down and through the flames, and burn it again. It's a good clean burn out of it. So why aren't more systems built up for just that? You know, the wood gasifier isn't nothing new. The wood gasifier was used back in World War II at the very, you know, least. And essentially, when they didn't have fuel for the cars, the Jeeps and the trucks over there, they'd put these big wood gasifiers in the back of the truck and burn a little bit of firewood, and inside the little chamber had some chunks of wood, and these woods would gasify, and then they'd run that right through a bubbler system and then straight into the carburetor. There you got, right there, fuel on the go, man.
You know, you're partially burning the wood and getting carbon monoxide off it, and then literally burning the carbon monoxide as fuel. So you get carbon dioxide out, not getting any carbon monoxide, which makes you wonder how much energy you're throwing away in the form of carbon monoxide out of your tailpipe that you could be recirculating and burning again.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between burning carbon monoxide as opposed to carbon dioxide? This is the only difference.
Carbon dioxide is at the lowest state you can push the chemicals to. It's like cornflakes inside of a box. The more you shake them, the more compact they get.
Yeah.
Well, the carbon monoxide is not shook up as much, shaken down and compacted as much as you can. The carbon dioxide is, just like water.
Could you still burn the carbon off of it?
You can't really burn the carbon off of it, but you can actually separate the two. I mean, they found that vacuum level ultraviolet rays that are so intense that they get absorbed by the upper atmosphere before they have a chance to penetrate, that has enough energy. Any carbon dioxide that gets up there, it'll actually crack the carbon off of the oxygen and leave oxygen ions floating around in the atmosphere, and of course the carbon is just going to precipitate out of the air.
Well, so why couldn't a person replicate that on a ground level? See, there's all this industry out there is talking about how they're going green and they're getting all this filtration systems, high dollar, high tech filtration that are keeping their smokestacks from blowing out crud.
Right. Well, and you're not talking about though making energy. You're generating energy off of that, like by burning it or something. You're talking about pumping energy into it and ending up with a reserve of energy left over, because the oxygen is, again, good for oxidizing things, and the carbon is good to be oxidized again.
Well, either way, there's still all kinds of potential, and the fact is there actually is no waste out there. You know, we waste a lot of stuff as far as we throw it in the doggone ditch or the dump, you know, and a lot of the things, like especially glass and plastic. I mean, there's a folks over there in Europe that were taking old plastic bottles and refining it back into usable fuel again. Petrol,
right,
as they called it. But that, old tires, I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff out there. Glass can be recycled. There's so much. And I don't think they really go through a serious effort to actually recycle things as much as folks would think. You know, you see all these different companies that will, you know, put off these recycling bins, and you know that it's all going green, we're all going to take care of it, and then there's companies that buy recycled materials and make paper and plastics out of and stuff. But as far as being really super serious about recycling, I really don't see it yet. You know, because everything else is so readily available. It's in some instances they say it's cheaper just to make new as opposed to recycling the old. See what I'm talking about?
So, yeah, that's, everybody keeps talking about America and whatnot. It's like, well, the reason why things are slowly going downhill and have lasted as long as they have is because they stole this living creature from the natives that lived here, and they've been living off the rotting carcass this whole time. There's just an awful lot of meat on this carcass, but eventually the meat's going to run out because they're not putting anything back into it. They're not taking care of it. You want to make America great again, start taking care of it again, you know? Stop worrying about whether people are moving here or not. Start worrying more about, you know, are people who are already here going to take care of what's here and turn it around, turn it back into something good.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, wasting it.
I say, you know, it's kind of like this, man. If your house is a dump, not because it has to be a dump, but because you're too lazy to clean it, something like that. If you got like, nachos, cheese, and
gum wrappers. Don't just leave the dump there and move away to a place that has not been touched.
And garbage
and
up
start
to
turning,
your neck.
And start turning it into a dump too. You know, clean it up. Clean where you're at up.
Well, basically what I was trying to get down to is that, you got to clean your own house before you can complain about everybody else's house is what I'm trying to say.
Right. And well, you know that saying, though, no trace left behind.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people need to start treating the cities and the towns and the suburbs the same way they try to treat nature, because those cities, towns, and suburbs used to be nature.
Yep.
Before somebody came along and poured out a bunch of earth scab all over the place we call concrete and asphalt. You look at a city from space and really think about it, the city looks like a giant scab on the surface of the earth. Like somebody cut it open, it bled and dried on the surface trying to heal itself.
I've seen a lot of science fiction movies where they had societies that were like really cool looking glass domes with tubes and stuff that people would travel through, you know. But outside of these glass domes and stuff, they had like beautiful gardens and jungles and all that. I mean, I'm sure that at some point in the future that you could actually get to a society like that. I think it's I think that would be amazing, you know. There's something to be said for being able to jump in your old jalopy and just fly down the old concrete or gravel road. But at the same sense, watching some of these sci-fi movies and seeing the future technology and stuff, I'm really fascinated with it, man. Star Trek and such.
We need more Star Trek and less Star Wreck.
Oh yeah, we're sitting here in the year 2016 and we're still using freaking Neanderthal electrical grid and Stone Age, just about everything we do right now. We got
trying to generate electricity by smashing atoms together.
Yeah.
Basically about like doing brain surgery with a sledgehammer.
Well, you know, whenever you're still using old 1800s and prior steam technology with modern-day nuclear reactors and stuff, and, you know that there's a potential that something could go awry?
Awry.
Yeah.
I heard something go awry. Could you describe the awry?
Yeah. It was that nuclear explosion over there, that hydrogen explosion.
Yeah.
Two Dogs says, civilization, the big lie. Well, you know, there's folks like Two Dog and myself that actually believe that things could be right in this world if you could actually get enough people to the table to agree about stuff. But
maybe it's some education. We need to teach people what the word civilization means,
yeah.
Where the root comes from. What does it mean to be civilized? Because I look around and see a lot of stuff that's going on out there, and the civilization doesn't look very civilized to me.
It's kind of like that phrase, there's nothing civil about war.
Right.
Yeah. So, That's what Two Dogs saying, man.
Not a whole lot civil about our civilization either.
No, especially, you know, there's a lot of brutality got us where we're at. Now, all I'm saying is I'm sorry about the past, but if we don't get our act together, we're going to see the same past repeat itself. You know, and it's just ridiculous.
You can't solve problems with the same thinking that started caused the problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop trying to double down, you know.
Try to, like, see if you can get, what's the definition of insanity?
Yeah, well, like I said before about the Federal Reserve, they're like, oh, God, printing all this money created all this debt. Let's double down and print more money.
Yeah.
Now you're making more debt, man. How's that going to solve the debt that you just created?
Yeah,
make things worse.
When you look at the National Debt Clock, there's a website out there, and you watch that thing, it's turning as fast as a meter on your light pole outside, you know. Actually, probably faster now. You could probably use it for a fan. But, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. And most of that is all phony money anyway, if not all of it is phony money.
All of it. They don't have any gold.
But regardless,
that's all the non-funny money there is, because they can't control how much gold there is in circulation.
Well,
all they can do is put energy into toiling away to, you know, to refine more gold from the ground.
There's another thing that really frustrates me about, you know, gold and silver and diamonds and stuff, you know, things that folks find to be valuable or whatever.
Some of the people place more value on than life.
Yeah, some of the things that take place in order to get that gold tooth in your mouth are horrendous. I mean, child labor, basically sitting around using mercury to capture gold flakes and such.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what's that doing to that child's future, man? You know, there's the reason why they call it Mad as a Hatter, because back in the day when the old hat makers were actually using mercury to help form the hats and stuff, they literally drove themselves insane. They basically destroyed their brains because they didn't know how dangerous this stuff really was.
The question is, where'd the gold come from, too? That might have been a gold tooth in somebody else's head back in Germany.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure could have. Could have been something that somebody got killed over. You know, there's a phrase out there called blood diamonds. Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You know the reasoning behind all that?
Yep. I've seen quite a few shows that have touched on it and told about it in many different ways, so.
Well, it's sad that in here, like I said, I keep repeating myself, in the year 2016, we're having to see that these things are still occurring, man. You know, we use gold in computers, so everybody who owns a computer pretty much supports the deal. So it's like, what do you do, man? You're darned if you do, and you're darned if you don't. You gotta have things, so you go to buy them where it's cheapest, and most generally it's companies like Walmart that sells it, or, you know, and then if you don't track it back to where it actually came from, and you never have the knowledge that maybe there was child labor involved in making this particular deal, then are you still accountable because you didn't know? Or because you didn't take the time to know, or whatever, you know?
Right.
Well,
that's what I said. If they wanted to solve the problem with the importing issues, just start jailing people who own corporations where they're basically buying goods from countries that are doing things that we consider illegal here. Treat them as if they had basically committed the crime, because that's what you do if you basically catch somebody buying cars that they know are stolen.
Yep, accessory to the crime.
They jail those people for receiving stolen goods. So, you know, just jail them for receiving goods made by child labor.
Well,
by slave labor.
I agree.
You know?
That would be a law that I'd support. If some company knowingly buys from somebody using child labor, then they're just as guilty as someone caused it.
The heck with knowingly. If they didn't do the investigation, if you can prove that they could have found out and they purposefully turned a blind eye because they didn't want to know,
yeah,
then they're still... What's that old saying? Ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law.
Yeah, if it's good for you, it's good for them too. That's what I think.
That's right. That's right. You start jailing people for basically buying goods from places that they're doing illegal activity in order to produce the goods. What we consider illegal activity because it's bad for human beings. It won't be long before they're going to have to buy from the countries that don't do that, where the prices are a fair. They're going to people start supporting a living where you need to have the way you need to have things done, and those countries will stop practicing those practices because they can't sell goods anymore.
Well, I don't know, man.
It'd be an unforced boycott, it would just naturally occur at that point.
That's the whole thing. Everybody needs to actually take a look at that whole boycott thing, actually think about it. Because your money, whether you believe it or not, your money does have power. I mean, it has influence over activities in the world. I mean, people don't put each other in danger and their children in danger.
Hey, for money, your money has the most power over the people who worship it the most.
Yep. So if you spend it accordingly and you do your research, if you're at least making the attempt to buy from folks that aren't doing the dirty deed, so to speak, then I would think you're a little bit more justified than the next guy who ain't even paying attention, doesn't even care.
Yep.
When I saw those videos of the kids that were doing this, putting their life in danger and not being able to go to school and barely being able to feed their families, that kind of stuff, I wanted to do something. I wanted to try to figure out some way to resolve this outside of just sending money, If there was enough people in this world that would adopt a family out there and actually send them the money to that family. The guy said he needed $30 a day to feed his family. That to me would be like a step forward. It'd be a start, but it wouldn't be the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution would be to figure out a way to go to that community and help them to figure out ways to basically feed themselves. It's kind of like that whole giving a man a fish or teaching him how to fish deal. And that would be the best go, because it isn't like these folks aren't willing to work, because they are willing to work. They're willing to put their, not only themselves, but their children's lives in danger to work, because they need to survive. They need food. But man, in the world that we live in today, why should a child have to put his life in danger instead of being able to go to school just so that he can have some food? It's ridiculous, man. There's warehouses all over this planet that belong to corporations that are just stockpiled with stuff. And sometimes they got expiration dates on them. Sometimes when they get to a certain point, it gets thrown in the trash. Restaurants, they can't sell food after a certain period of time. It gets thrown in the trash. It's sad. And to know when you walk past a big garbage dumpster and there was some life-sustaining food in that doggone dumpster, and there was somebody on the other side that just died of starvation, man, that's beyond wasteful as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
There had to be some other method by which you could...
Or you see people starving to death because they can't get to the food that's in the dumpster because they're being beat half to death by police officers.
Yeah. That's another thing, that a man would have to shrink his dignity down to the extent that he would literally... society has ways of looking at people. Like the average, middle class, upper class, wouldn't be caught dead digging in the dumpster for food. Because they'd be like shamed, you know, what's wrong? Are you too lazy to go get a job or something like that? That's the kind of things that they would say to you. But then there's other folks that have no other choice.
Here's the question, man. Anybody who basically says, hey, why don't you go get a job instead of digging in a dumpster, I have to ask them, did you buy what you just got, all the stuff that you're using to get around and to do to live the life you live from Walmart, or did you go out buy from Americans?
Yeah.
Because that's an American you're telling to go get a job, yet you're sending all the jobs overseas by buying from people overseas. So who are you to tell them what to do?
Well, you got a great
point. When you're purposefully defeating them, stopping them from being able to do it.
You got a point. In the coal industry, there's been a lot of people put out of jobs. In the auto industry, there's been a lot of people put out of jobs. In the steel industry, there's been a lot of people put out of jobs.
Well, there are a lot of jobs, too, though, that don't exist that should be here, you know?
Yeah.
Because
well,
people aren't bothering to use the resources here. They still want to go get the cheapest thing, the cheapest old thing they can get. They don't care who's basically being beaten half to death in order to get them to do it for nothing.
And
so that they can sell it off at a cheaper price to that person.
And on top of that, you know, when you take an industry to another country because of cheaper labor, you're cheating that company in multiple different ways. Not only are you polluting their environment because you don't have the regulations, but you're violating what would have been classified as illegal over here depending on the age of your employees. And you're taking the use in their labor for an industry that is not necessarily benefiting that particular community as well as it could be. For example, if you got a factory in your own city or something like that, the tax money coming off the factory goes into the city, the stuff gets sent out to the different states, and the individuals have a job and health care plans and such like that. But in these other countries, they're not reaping all the benefits of having that factory in their city. You see what I'm saying?
They're reaping all the negative benefits. Like, we don't want all this nasty smog in our state, so we're going to use solar cells here. What they're saying is, we would rather that smog be somewhere else where we don't have to see it. So we're going to get all these solar cells that produce all kinds of smog when they're being made overseas from China and leave the smog in China, but not have to, you know, pay the price of the smog whenever we're burning our lights here in our house.
Yep. So I'm not saying don't take factories overseas. I'm saying if you're going to take them overseas, you treat them as if they were citizens of the United States. You make sure that they have the benefits as well.
More likely to buy American goods if they're actually making American wages.
Yeah.
In China, you know. So maybe we can start exporting some goods to China, make a little bit of money off of them. But you're not going to get that until you literally force their hand to stop treating the people the way they do over there.
Well, and the whole deal falls down to complicit, man. Everybody, if you don't pay attention to where you're buying stuff, if you don't even care, you're just complicit. You know, it's like this. Like I said earlier, you know, go to Walmart, you buy it because it's cheap, but you don't care where it came from. All you know is that it's cheap. It doesn't matter that something negative might happen to somebody to get that product to you. You know, all the in-betweens doesn't matter. Out of sight, out of mind kind of stuff. But imagine yourself, put yourself in the position of being on the opposite side of the spectrum. You're the one shipping it out. You know, here in America, when we make American goods,
the next step is once you become aware and active to do something about this, you have to start shunning people who are not active and refuse to become active.
Yeah.
In order to get them to change. You've got to boycott them too.
Yeah.
Sorry, you buy from overseas, I can't talk to you anymore. Once you no longer buy from overseas, you have the right then to cut those people out of your life. Oh, you know, you can't cut my lawn. Why? Because your lawnmower came from China. I will not hire somebody that has a Chinese lawnmower.
Then,
you know? You get one from a free country where they don't make children do the work to build a lawnmower, then yeah, we'll talk about you cutting my lawn. But in the meantime, I'm going to hire that other guy down the street that they might charge a little more for my lawn. But I know I'm not supporting any child labor. I'm not supporting any slave labor anywhere.
The same thing could be applied to the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The only reason why a government can become tyrannical in America is because it is allowed that they do so by not paying attention and by not holding them accountable. You know, you got a mainstream media out there that lies and propagandizes everybody out there. You know, they're going to say everything bad about the opposite side just so that whichever of the two parties can get elected. Well,
right.
You've got to stop allowing them to lie to you like that. I mean, if there's ever going to be a protest and I was going to be one, you know, leading the rush, I wouldn't be heading over to the guys with guns or the government over there. I'd head right straight over to their propaganda machine and let them know what I thought about the whole deal. So we're not going to buy from any one of your advertisers until you find it in your conscience to start telling the truth. Even
right.
if the truth is painful, you tell the truth. Because in reality, what's going on is they spread a whole Jerry Springer mentality around the world, and then, you know, it sells. Sex sells, violence sells, and then everybody wonders why society is in the shape that it's in today and why people are suffering around this world. You talk about global warming and climate change, but in all the years that we've been listening to this BS about global warming and climate change, what have they done outside of polluting the planet yet even more? They haven't done nothing. All right? I don't believe in global warming / climate change according to man-made stuff right there, all right? I don't do it. It's because the science just doesn't support it. I don't care what all the mainstream scientists say so that they can keep their funding. I don't care about the skewed numbers or none of that stuff. I care about reality. Reality is this. We've been pointing out tons and tons of different ways that you could use clean, renewable energy that are already available. And every time you try to do that, somebody got to come up out of the way. Well, that costs too much, man. Well, what costs more? The total destruction of the planet that you're living on, or a few extra bucks out of your pocket that you may have to spend in order to get a system in place that's not going to pollute the stuff that you say is a pollutant, such as CO2. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Until you get that kind of mentality into these knuckleheads that go out there, occupy Wall Street and occupy whatever, you know, all these different, you know, social groups and stuff, they go out, they start fights with each other, they burn down their own communities, they beat each other up. They're over there at the Republican convention, they were kicking people's taillights in, causing damages on their cars, you know. And these are the same people who are protesting because they want rights and freedoms, but yet they're willing to take away everyone else's rights and freedom. I have a right to choose whether I want to vote Republican or Democrat, even if I know that both systems are two sides of the same coin. You know, I still, you know, have the opportunity, according to my rights, to vote for the lesser of two evils if I so choose. But in reality, if you vote for the wrong guy, you're liable to get your head knocked in by some idiot who thinks that he's going to convince you to vote for the other person just because he's going to tell you you're stupid or a racist or kind of stuff like that. And that's what these doggone people at the top are counting on.
Yep, because that actually drives the votes the direction they want it.
Yeah.
Which is basically don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
And
pay more attention to your neighbor who's basically trying to kill you right now because you tried to look behind the curtain.
Yeah. There's a doggone racist because you don't agree with somebody, you know? It's all ridiculous, man. And the majority of the masses out there falling for such propaganda and craziness are the same ones that are sitting out there crying about global warming, you know? All right. Fukushima radiation out there, if it's tearing up the doggone Pacific Ocean or whatever, and the government's not addressing it, and the people are just standing by waiting for the government to address it, as opposed to say, let's get there and find out what the truth is, let's find out what the reality, and let's get things together. We'll clean it up ourselves if necessary, because we can't kill off the doggone planet. But you don't hear that. All you hear is people complaining about it. You don't see no action. If the river is polluted and you ain't got your community down there at least pulling the tires that they threw out in the river out, or the old refrigerators or vehicles or air conditioners or trash, you know, if you ain't doing something to make it better, then you're just part of the problem. You're complicit. And that's why the governments are able to get tyrannical, because the loudest person out there is going to get the attention and potentially thrown in jail. But in the same sense, the mainstream media don't care. They're eating it up, man. There's drama going on. People like drama. They like violence. And then you got the whole, you know, F the police crowd out there, you know? You know, talking about running around shooting cops. What kind of sense does that make? If you shoot cops, they're going to retaliate. Next thing you know, it is literally the cops against the people. And when that gets out of hand, because the people outnumber the cops, guess what? The next level is we bring in the military. All right, and so now you got the military against the people. And then you got the doggone separate militaries that are saying, well, wait a second, we're not supposed to be shooting on citizens. I'm going to shoot you instead. Now you got a civil war going on. This is how they destabilize nations. All right? And if you think it's not profitable war, go watch a few videos after, like, Nicolas Cage. He was running guns. But he wasn't running to one side. He was running to both sides. Hey, you need some guns, you need some bullets. He didn't care who was fighting who or why they were even fighting. He was making money hand over fist, selling guns to both sides. You think the military-industrial complex ain't figured out that scam either? The corporations have. We can send all of our factories overseas and only have to pay pennies on the dollar for a product that we can then in turn sell to the stupid Americans for 300 or more percent markup. That's the reality of it, folks. You know, what does all this have to do with mad science? Well, I'm trying to tell you what it has to do with mad science. We're trying to point out to you everything out there. There are so many possibilities. If you care about a green world, then let's make it a green world. We got the technology to do so. If you care about clean, fresh water for everybody to drink, let's do it. We have the technology and the resources to do so. If you care about homelessness, let's build houses that won't fall down. Don't build a house out of straw in Tornado Alley. You know what I mean? There are aerodynamic ways to design buildings so that they will not blow over. There are aerodynamic ways to build and structural integrity ways to build buildings that will not blow over or be able to shake up in an earthquake. You see what I mean? We could build houses that are fireproof. We could build houses that are so incredibly energy efficient that the energy bill would be next to zero. All you got to do is learn from nature. Go inside of any cave. I don't care how hot it is outside. Go inside of any cave. You'll find a constant temperature down in there. It's pretty amazing. And yet, we don't duplicate that when we build our homes. You know, hey, if you build it out of sticks, it's a lot cheaper than building it out of gold, right? That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Two Dog says, it's going through the grapevine. There will be civil war here if Trump gets the election. Well, I guess we're all going to civil war then. Honestly, I don't see Trump getting the election. I honestly see Hillary stealing the election. Because whether it's Trump or whether it's Hillary, it doesn't matter. The folks at the top, you're not going to get a fair shake. No matter, you know, which side of the political spectrum you believe in, determining by the mainstream propaganda machine side that you listen to. Because If you listen to the liberal side, you're going to get a liberal point of view. If you listen to the conservative side, you're going to get a conservative point of view. And at the end of the day, they're all going out to the bar together, and they're laughing at your expense all the way to the bank. Because if...
corruption.
Yeah. If you get a war started, you don't even have to send your own children to war. All you got to do is get the masses out there to send their children. All you got to do is say, hey, look, these terrorists are trying to get us, man. They're trying to steal America. They're trying to steal Granny's wooden leg and her walker and stuff. And that's all
they,
that...
Really, they kind of made a commentary point of what you're describing right there with that TV or that movie series, The Purge.
Yeah.
Where basically, you know, it was fair game. Anybody was up for being shot, killed, murdered, or do whatever you want, and nobody would be prosecuted for it one night a year. Except, of course, the people that are above a certain level in the government. They're all exempt from it. You're not allowed to hurt them.
Yep, and here's the thing, folks. If America ever goes to a second civil war, there ain't going to be no America. There ain't going to be no world, period. You know, it's all just going to collapse. It's going to collapse like dominoes. And it's going to collapse in such a fashion that the only ones coming out the other side in their own personal minds and views, because they get the bunkers and such, is the elite. They're the only ones that even have a remote chance of survival if America goes to a second civil war. That's a fact. And you can take it to the bank, take it or leave it, however you want.
But the bunkers and the inoculations.
If you think that there's going to be a second civil war and you're actually going to have the opportunity to come outside and rebuild the community the way that you want to do it, you might as well just hang it up, because that ain't going to happen. No, there will be such an ecological disaster and loss of life and liberty unlike anything that you've ever seen in the history of your time. And you think that things are dangerous now? Go back and watch the series Jericho. You'll get just a basic idea of what people do to each other whenever they're thinking their kids are going to starve to death, or they're in fear for their safety, and who ends up being in charge. You're not going to have the freedom like you think you're going to have. You're not going to have the opportunity to get on the internet and talk to your friends and tell them, you know, you despise the leaders. No, because the way that it works out in that case is that if you don't agree, they just shoot you. You know, or worse, torture you and then shoot you. They don't care. That's the cruelty of the reality that you'll face if this place ever goes down in a ball of flames. And all for all these folks out here that think that they're going to actually be able to create a one world government and, you know, force everybody to be vaccinated, or force everybody to, you know, only have one child or be sterile or whatever. You got another thing coming, because once a man has tasted freedom, once the knowledge of freedom actually exists in this world, there are people that will fight you to the death for eternity. And that's a fact. And you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get a Muslim to change his views on being a Muslim, just like you're never going to get a Christian to change his views on a Christian if they don't choose to do so. So your holy wars back and forth, your financial wars, your wars over resources are all ridiculous. You're fighting over something that you're never, ever, ever going to run out of if you're fighting over resources. That's it. Because when you die, you get recycled back into the system. You know, where your spirit or your soul goes thereafter, that's up for debate, to depending on whoever you ask about it. But the fact that you got to sit around and argue with each other, or even threaten each other's life with jihad or whatever, that's why humanity's in the shape that we're in right now. You know, Two Dog put a deal in here, said the Democrat, Republican, same snake. That's right. It's a two-headed snake. Both of them. Democrats, Republicans. And, you know, why is it you? Why haven't you ever seen a Libertarian or a Green Party or any of the other people get elected as President of the United States? Because it's all a corporate scam. And the only way that any of this is ever going to be fixed is if we the people, those three bold letters on the top of what some classify as a worthless, outdated document, those three large words that say we the people, that the founders wanted to clearly state who holds the ultimate power in this nation, we the people. All right, now, I don't sit around and debate about all the terrible atrocities that it took to get us where we're at today, because we all know that just about every race and religion and whatever, every person out here in some form or fashion has been taken advantage of, lied to, abused, killed, or whatever. It's been a dirty deed from the time from start to finish, and it's not just in this nation, it's in every nation out there. Man does dirty things to man whenever man wants something that the other guy's got, and so on and so forth. But now that we're in the here and now, those three bold, emphasized words, we the people, that's where the founder said that the power actually lies, is in the hands of the people. And so you have a right to throw off said tyrannical government when it gets out of hand. My advice is, before you go throwing the baby out with the bathwater, before you repair the horse's shoe and then shoot the horse to start off fresh, I would submit that you keep the horse, you know, you repair the shoe, whatever's broken you fix, and go on from there. Because after this is done, the next system that you have in place might not be the one you want. The whole it sounds good. We got a United Nations, and they're all going to come together, all these nations. We're going to have a tribunal around there, and they're going to make sure that there's peace and love throughout the entire land. Well, folks, look at their track record. It stinks. And then who's going to say who are the tribunal? Who's going to say who are the people that's going to be in charge? All right, and if these people are in charge, are the Hillary Clintons or even the Donald Trumps of the world, then is it going to be any better than it is now? You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
if they're telling you that, if they're trying to sell you peace and love, chances are what their actual meanings for peace and love. If you were to actually look at the meaning, you wouldn't be using those words. You'd be using rape and murder.
Yep, that's essentially how they get, by force.
Yep.
Two Dog says, I'm speaking to people all over the world now about peace, and now hold 30 flags of the world. And that is wonderful. All right, now that's, you know, I like where he's going. I like what he's attempting to do, and I hope that we can bring all the nations together. But what I don't want to happen is that we bring all the nations together under one flag. Because it's like the American system of government. You got the executive branch of government, the legislative branch of government, and the judicial branch of government. And then you have all the governments down underneath, from your state to city, to towns, to local villages, and so on. You got a government within inside a government within inside a government that all have executive, legislative, and judicial branches within them. So there's checks and balances in there. And there is something to be said for checks and balances. We need Russia to be Russia. We need China to be China. Canada to be Canada, Ireland and Scotland, and all, so on and so forth, all the way to the United States. We need all these checks and balances so that one person or one group of people can't get the ultimate power over all the people. Now, right now, seems that everybody has given their freedom and sovereignty over to the money system. And there's a big problem, because he who has the gold makes the rules. And it's not always in your benefit, those rules. You see what I'm pointing out here, man?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got it. We got all the answers, folks. It's just about how are we gonna get people to the table. We do a show called Knights of the Roundtable on ShazizRadio.com. We've been doing it for quite a few years now. We've offered the microphone up to everybody. And in the Mad Science Alternative Energy community, we've offered the microphone up to anybody. If you got something to share with people, a design that you want to share with the world, or some research in alternative energy that you want other people to look into, that's what it's all about. Because until we get the research in, until we get the actual work done, then we're just stuck. We're just stuck paying the man. That's it. That's what we do. We pay the man. And when we pay the man, he pays the government. When the government gets paid, they pay the military. When the military gets paid and somebody else doesn't like what somebody else said or did in a different country, well, then the military comes into action and they go up and blow up something else, and more people get paid. You got military equipment, you got guns, ammunition, fuel, you got medical supplies, food to feed the troops, and all these resources being guided in to go over there and mop somebody into the third world status. And then you got people saying, well, don't worry about it, that's some collateral damage is expected. Well, you tell that to the child that's standing there that just watched his mother and father drop. You know? And if the shoe's on the other foot and that's your nation, you're not going to be so happy about it. And for those folks that out there wish upon America a civil war, you know, you got to watch what you wish for, because you might just get it. But I guarantee you, without a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if America ever goes into a second civil war, it's not just America that's going to suffer. It's going to be the entire world that's going to suffer. Those of you who are used to donations from the American people, that's gone. Those of you who are used to being allies with America and having America's protection, that's gone. You know, and I could go on and on. Those of you who are used to certain materials coming out of America being shipped into your country that's necessary for food or medicine or industry, that's gone. We're too busy fighting each other to have any shipping going on. We're too busy trying to steal each other's goods so that we can win that second civil war. And in the process of that, somebody's going to decide, well, we got to send some UN troops over there to resolve this issue, because America's going down. We can't have America fall, because if America falls, our bank accounts are going to get empty, because we've been milking Americans for money for years and decades. So when that occurs and the UN troops show up over here, guess what? The Civil War is over. Now it's a world war, because now we got foreign troops attacking both sides. And when that occurs, hey, 4th of July kicks in, right? Nuke them if you got them. Katie, bar the door.
If you got them.
Yeah. I'm telling you, folks. It's called MAD. It's called Mutual Assured Destruction. We would rather blow it up instead of giving it away to a foreign enemy.
Right.
Now, with all that said, why would we even want to, as we the people, why would we even want to even entertain the idea of civil war? Because it's my children and your children. Brother against brother, father against son. You know? And if we are all truly part of a human family, if we're all truly related and brothers and sisters, and we want peace and love in this world, the very last thing that we should be doing is entertaining the thought of civil war in any nation. These folks out there destabilizing nations, when it comes to light and it's found out that they've actually took part in that, they should be prosecuted for war crimes. That's it. Flat out. And I mean all the way down to the soldier himself who's over there fighting in the doggone mess. Ain't no excuse saying, well, I was just taking orders. Uh-uh. No, you were just attacking and basically following an illegal order against the oath that you took to serve and protect the United States Constitution, if that's where you came from. Now, I know that sounds freaking harsh, but what's harsher than that? Harsher than that is taking some baby's family away from them. Harsher than that is sitting there making everybody suffer throughout the world instead of trying to take all the resources we have available. If we can amass an army to go over there and blow somebody up, why can't we amass the same strength of army to go over there and feed somebody that needs something? Where am I wrong, Thomas? Where am I wrong? I just don't get it. You know, there's people always tell you, oh, well, you can't do nothing about it. Government's too corrupt. Seriously? There's about 320 million people in the United States. Some documented and some undocumented, as they say. Out of those 320 million within the United States, a large portion of them voting Democrat, a large portion of them voting Republican, and a large portion of them protesting the police, and a large portion of them protesting the government, a large portion of them protesting each other. They're fighting amongst each other. They're burning down their own communities, and then complaining about how come they ain't got a doggone job. If I was a prospective employer and I had a business in that community at one point in time and everything that I had worked for all that time was burnt down by somebody who was protesting the police that I had absolutely nothing to do with, I wouldn't bring my money back into that community. I wouldn't put a business back in that town. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I can show you places in my local area to where there were some serious riots going on way back in, I think it was the 60s or 70s. And these portions of town have never recuperated. There are still abandoned buildings in the same area as it were right after these riots. Nobody ever came back there to build. Because they were always under the threat that all we have to do is upset somebody and they'll tear it all down again. Why would you do it? I just send my stuff over to Mexico and have it made over there. Common sense, folks. That's all we're talking about. If you want to fix it, there's only three words that you need to remember. We the people. That's it. And I ain't talking about an armed revolution. I'm talking about a intelligent, knowledge-based, peaceful movement towards fixing the broken portions of what you despise about America. You're not taking down my red, white, and blue flag because you say it's racist. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to allow you to do it. You can lobby the government and you can have them not hang it on the government building, but it's still going to be hanging on my property. It's my right, according to the United States Constitution, and I know the meaning behind that flag. And you can call me any name in the book you want. It doesn't matter. Because I know how propaganda works. I know how divide and conquer works. Do what you want, say what you want, just don't bring it to my neighborhood. That's it. And that's the way the world works, folks. It really is. You have the power. You're the one that signed up to the homeowners association that now wants to throw you out because you want a nifty little flower pot out in your front yard that doesn't comply with the standard view of the homeowners association. You're the one who is complicit to the police brutality of the world. You go out there and you protest them, knowing that they got weapons, and knowing that they're going to get violent and continue to make it worse. Then your mainstream media then, in turn, talks about how terrible the police are, which gives them an even worse attitude. And then the next time you go to protest, it gets even more worse because now the police are standing idly by because they're under the scrutiny of the American people that they've been told that they were too violent, so they're just going to let people do what they want to do. And then, when things get really nasty, now the police finally get called back in. You got to do something about it. And why do we just made a big loop back to the whole police brutality scene. Instead of doing that, instead of protesting the guys with the guns and the guys at the White House that had the guys with guns protecting them, you need to be standing on the lawn of their propaganda machine and telling them that it's time them to start telling the truth. Otherwise, you're going to stop buying the products that they support with their advertisement. That's how you start it off. And then if you take and you actually put your words into action and you stop buying from companies known to actually support blood diamonds or blood gold or child labor, then you'll start a trend throughout the entire world that will ensure that people will start treating their people better. Otherwise, they're going to go broke. And since money is the root of all evil, according to the way it's all situated, and he who has the gold makes the rules, ensure that everyone has the gold so that we the people make the rules. Man, what do you think, Thomas? Any thoughts on the matter? From under the bus?
I think we wandered way off from Mad Science into Knights of the Round Table territory. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do some Mad Science territory tomorrow to make up for that.
Yep, going to have to balance
otherwise,
it out.
Otherwise, I'm not voting for you again, King Shazooz.
I wouldn't vote for me either. I'd love to like take a vacation, man. Common sense, it hurts your brain whenever you use it. Because, like, you look out there, you see all the technology that is available right there in front of your face. There's tons of it. I showed videos of where I took like hard drive motors and spun them up and got really high voltages out of them. What's the big deal? That you'd say, well, I took and was able to light up a full strand of LEDs. Not that impressive, but in reality, if you look down to the actual anomaly occurring in there, it's worthy of further development, it's worthy of further research, because there is very little copper wire in those cores. There is very little magnetism involved in that. And yet, the faster you spin that thing, the higher the voltage, which is pressure. You get a lot of energy moving out of that little gizmo. So if that concept, if that idea was actually used and scaled up, like with the direct drive washing machine motors that we talked about out of the Fisher and Paykel and the Samsung version of the washing machines, imagine one of those at about 25,000 RPMs. Man, I watched a guy hook one up to a 5-horse Briggs & Stratton, and he was pulling some serious flaming arcs off of that thing. That's got to say something. I believe it's how we use the energy. We figured that out because of research like Robert Murray Smith has been doing. Being able to take graphene and print out things like heaters on the wall and stuff, you know, printable ink or conductive printable ink, making supercapacitors, crystal batteries that are out there, access to those, so many different versions of ways to actually get this energy that we all need that's called electricity. You know, in reality, we can actually go back to the Stone Age. We don't really need electricity to survive. I mean, they've done it before, but it's a lot hard work when you're out there living on the off the land, so to speak, farming and out there pulling, having a mule pull your plow and such. But I think there's a time for every season under the sun, they say. And I think now is the time that instead of working harder, we should be working smarter. And I want to see the advancements in society because I kind of like the old Star Trek and Star Wars and Firefly science fiction shows where they were flying through space and boldly going where no man had gone before. I kind of like to check it out, man.
You named a couple where they were boldly blowing up things that no one has ever blown up before, too, so...
Oh, yeah, they did. It's like space violence. See, that's another thing. Why would people have to put into futuristic scientific sci-fi movies, why would they have to put in there a bunch of war and destruction and robbing and raping and looting and pillaging or aliens coming down to suck your brains out kind of stuff? I mean, why can't space be something cool? It's where all the enlightened individuals go, you know? They go out there and find different planets with utopias on them or, you know, gardens of Eden.
I think you need to read about how to write a successful story in order to figure out the solution behind why they do what they do whenever they write those things into movies.
Because sex and violence sells.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as sex and violence sells, which goes back to your almighty dollar, you pay for what you get, or you get what you pay for. That's the word, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You end up getting what you're willing to pay for.
Yep. And if people are willing to pay for it, there's somebody willing to sell it.
Yep.
What a crazy world, man.
If somebody's willing to pay for it, somebody's willing to kill somebody to get it and give it to them.
Yep. I got to have that piece of cake that you got because yours is bigger than mine. Man, I don't even care if somebody got a bigger piece of cake. I'm just happy I got my piece of cake. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't use the term cake because, you know, it comes back to the old phrase, let them eat cake. Give them bread and circuses.
Oh yeah, like while Rome's burning, what's his face is supposedly playing a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rome's burning, folks. It is. Y'all been done set fire to it again. Got a 2016 election now, and everybody's out there arguing with each other over who's right and who's wrong. Donald Trump ain't going to start a second civil war. The people are going to start a second civil war. And those at the top, they don't care. War is profitable. That's how you get rid of a lot of people and you jack the price of the land up, see? If you want to buy a good piece of property, what you do is you go over there in the middle of the night and you throw something really terrible on the property that you know you can clean up. And then you go buy it for pennies on the dollar.
You go and dress up in a sheet with holes cut in it and scare the people off?
Yeah. yeah, I'll sell you that really cheap. It's haunted, but I'll sell it to you cheap. That's how they've been doing it. You think the dirty deeds out there, man, look, that in Africa. Africa's probably one of the most mineral-rich countries, but yet the most physically poor. The people are.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what you were saying earlier, I believe the phrase is, well, it's cheap. Well, of course it's cheap. How else could we make any money off the deal?
Yeah. Some folks can justify that, man. You know, mm-hmm. We can pay everybody minimum wage because if we didn't pay them minimum wage, then the company wouldn't make enough money to make it worth their while. Well, maybe, just maybe, by paying a better price for it, you might get a higher quality deal. You wouldn't have some zit-faced kid spitting on your hamburger when you ticked him off because you pulled up in a Maserati.
Well, and don't buy from companies that give, you know, millions of dollars to CEOs so that they can collect all that money up and use it to basically privately finance some, you know, biological warfare against the rest of the populace so they can stop, you know, trying to basically work to get the rest of what you have and just kill you and take it.
Yeah. And, you know, the only way any, like I said, the only way any of this is going to get solved is when the people decide to solve it. We, the people, have the power to do it, man. Start supporting your local community. Start supporting each other. Start supporting your local researchers. Start funding each other for projects and stuff. If you got a project that you see that somebody's working on and you truly believe in it,
start making stuff that other people need and helping them out directly, you know.
That's it.
If you got to sell it to them, you got to sell it to them. But if you don't, you know, then even more power to you, you know.
If you got a tool that has capabilities, a 3D printer or, you know, like CNC machines or milling machines or lathes, and you know somebody needs a part, you know, give them a fair, honest price for your time and labor and materials, and make it for them. Because right now, if I want to go to a machine shop and have something custom made, it's going to cost me thousands of dollars, not just a couple hundred dollars. It's going to cost me thousands of dollars because they're going to want me to buy mass quantities, because all the major companies out there that have all the major tools, they make their money by getting huge contracts, and so they won't deal with a guy like me. Whereas I got tons and tons of ideas that I'd be willing to share for them. They don't have the money. They got the money, but they don't want to take the chance of investing in an idea unless it's got a patent or a copyright on there that they can own and they can make.
Or at least a clear path to sell.
Yeah.
Even a patent for a copyright doesn't guarantee a path to sale. Somebody could patent something else that's able to solve the same problem, just do it a different way, and then market it at a cheaper price, and then you just wasted all your time on that other patented idea.
Yep. And so if you truly want the world to benefit from your idea, the best way to do it is to have them support you and open source it, you know, and make your money off of making it for them, you know. Put the product right directly in their doggone hands. You know, they've even sneakily put regulations in under the guise of public safety, saying you couldn't make certain things because if you did, somebody could get hurt and you could get sued, kind of thing. Doggone, put a disclaimer on it. Have somebody sign, hey, look, I'm sending you this tool over here. I know it's safe, but just for my personal safety, can you sign this release and say, if for some weird freak accident you choke on this when you're not supposed to be putting it in your mouth anyway, that I'm not going to get sued? We laughed about, they put warning labels on all kinds of different electrical appliances, talking about like not taking a bath with your hair dryer kind of stuff.
I mean, or not trying to stop your chainsaw blade with the with your genitals.
Yeah, see, there ain't no cure for stupid, man. And as terrible as it may sound, you may have to just let stupid people do what stupid people do, and you know, let nature
right, let
take
Japanese
its course.
Japanese game show hosts have people do what they're willing to get them to do, you know, and just get out of that whole mess.
Yep, but if you want a better world, if you want a better community, the best way to do it is to start building it. You know, there's folks out there that are proactive. I know Two Dog and his community is proactive. And I know that Thomas and myself and Raymond and Muddy and Justin and a bunch of other folks that come on to the Mad Science and Night Roundtable, we're all proactive in our own personal communities and, you know, amongst our own little network there. Could we use a little bit of support? Yeah. But we're not going to be asking it in the form of financial support unless it's a deal between, you know, like Thomas and I. I'm going to pay him to make me some parts or something like that. That's fair. But as far as me trying to do a GoFundMe campaign to get somebody to send me money, nope. Until I know that I can build it, until I know I can prove it and get it to the world for free, I don't want anybody's money. I don't want that responsibility that if anything went wrong, that I'm going to get, like, I'm not here to rip nobody off. I'm not here.
Well, I'm going to remind you that next time you say, I know 150,000% about something, I'm going to say, okay, let's put the GoFundMe together then.
Well, like I said, if you believe, if you believe in what I'm talking about, if there's a device that I'm talking about and I explain it to you and it sounds to you plausible enough and you do a little bit of research and you believe that it's really has potential and we talk about investment to where you come out with your fair share of whatever it is that is done, then we could talk about, you know, GoFundMe accounts. That whoever invested in that would get some sort of benefit out of the deal, because I'm not into screwing anybody. That's as simple as that.
I don't know why everybody keeps using that word screw. I mean, screws are much better than nails.
Well,
I say don't nail them, you know, because that's a one shot, and if it didn't do it right, then it's basically everything's ruined and wasted.
Yeah.
You know?
Not to
the
mention.
Screw you can reuse. You can take it back out and reposition it. You can, you know, re-drill another hole and put that screw back in somewhere else. And
well, either way, either one you step on is going to hurt like heck. All right, let's put it like a lot nicer way. I'm not here to do anybody wrong.
Right.
And so I do believe in what I'm saying. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying it. And to prove to everybody believe what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to...
Hey, I got a question for you. Are you here to do anybody right?
Well, yeah.
Then you are here to do somebody wrong.
How's that?
Well, as you say it, you're screwing the power company right now.
Oh,
you're
the power company, that's a complex. Power company, that's not a somebody, even though the court tried to say that the power company corporation was
Everybody's somebody, so I say it this way, man. I'm not gonna say I'm not here to screw anybody over. I'm not gonna say I'm not here to help people. I'm here to set the record straight.
I'm just here to level the playing field, plain and
yeah.
simple.
Put the people back in power.
Yeah,
you know?
To make it fair.
Make people responsible again and make them capable of being responsible.
If a person can generate their own clean, renewable energy in their own, on their own property without having to be under the burden of paying massive utility bills...
If they don't want to.
Yeah, if they don't want to. Now, some people would rather just be able to go and turn on the light switch and call it a day. That's good. You pay for the service.
I see it this way, okay? You guys are having problems with finances and jobs and stuff like that. I'm not going to give you a job. I'm not going to solve your financial burdens. I want to set things up so that I can give you the power to solve it yourself.
Yep.
And you will have the ability to make all the power you need then, and what you do with that power then is up to you. If you want to catch your house on fire by, you know, not hooking things up right, well, you know, so be it. If you want to run an industry and start manufacturing things and sell them not just to Americans, but to the Chinese and the Japanese and the Germans and the Italians and the rest of the world, then, you know, and make a profit so you can basically be able to afford to help somebody else out who needs money for, you know, for going to sending their kids to school and whatnot, and is willing to grow food for you so that you can eat, then, you know.
Well, you just threw the answer out there to all of the problems, all the funding issues and everything like that. You just solved it, Thomas. And I'll tell you how. If you want to get brilliant minds invested in taking their time to come and build stuff, you believe in it enough that you want it done, then go to all these different communities. If you have the financial resources to do so, rent a building, put some tools in that thing, run an ad to paper and say, look, we're trying to solve things in the world. Anybody interested, come here, and we got tools and materials. We'll build it, and then we'll all benefit. And that's the way you'll get me to show up in that deal. I'll come
and
there.
That's the thing, is you got to solve one problem at a time. Don't come on the scene. If you come on the scene saying, I'm going to solve all the problems in the world, you know that person's a liar. They're just trying to get elected.
Well, then, you know? Like I say, make one specific goal.
Right.
Make one specific goal. Work
targeted. The person who thinks that they can solve all the problems in the world is lying to themselves too.
If you
focus on one problem though and solve one problem, I believe anybody can solve one problem. And once they've completed that one problem, they can move on to another and solve another problem.
Yep.
One step at a time. And it might actually solve quite a few problems by the time they're done.
Well, that's another good thing about
research.
Can't
do it all at once.
That's another good thing about research, that in the process of trying to solve one problem, you will find other benefits that you can use the same exact processes and stuff for.
Yep. Your failures will even become solutions for problems you didn't even know you could solve.
So get together in your communities. There's got to be one vacant building in every single community out there, because the way that businesses are these days and the economy and such, has got to be one building that somebody would be willing to donate to a specific community and a specific project, such as, look, we want to go green, and we want our people around us to know we're going green, and so we're going to take this building, and we got some old tools from the school when we replaced the shop tools. We have these. We're going to send to an auction. We're going to put these in the building. We're going to invite all the welders and all the fabricators and all the people to come in there and resolve this one issue that our community has. And once this one issue's resolved, then we'll move on to the next issue and so on.
Yep.
That's probably the most brilliant thing that was ever said on the Mad Science Channel right there. You want to get people involved in it. You don't send your money to one single group or individuals. You send your money to the community in the form of tools and support. And doggone it, help us out by passing these links around to people, you know? Listen
right
to the podcast. Jump up there in the chat room.
No, it's not that I don't want to solve the other problems. It's just that, you know, every person's got to recognize their limitations and work within their limitations, or they'll never accomplish anything.
Yep.
You know?
There's a community out there called the Geek Group. Old Cultist went over there and visited them at one point. They got a research facility.
Ash, what? Oh.
And they, they went to this community, and basically they got all kinds of tools. They do all kinds of different research, and, you know, I don't know the whole story of how they benefit from it, but I know that a lot of research and a lot of work went into it in that particular community. We need a geek group everywhere, you know.
Yes. Every city.
Every city.
Every town.
Every town, every village.
It needs to be like the original charter for the Freemasons. Anywhere that this community can support it, there needs to be a facility there for people to be able to do what they need to do.
I'm actually so inspired by what you figured out here today, Thomas, that I'm actually going to go to the next local town, because my town's pretty small and there ain't really no buildings in my town that would be vacant, but I do know another town that's not far from me that actually does have vacant buildings, and I want to sit down with their town council and explain to them what we just talked about and see if I can pique their interest in it, and ask them, do you have any issue that your city has that needs some researchers to resolve? And for the use of this and whatever tools that we can gather and put in there, we will spend our time and our research to actually finding the solution to your problem, you know? And if that could actually come to pass and we can actually be successful in it, there's a local newspaper in town that would post it out there. They'd post it out there to say that this is what these folks are coming into town to do. We're looking for more brilliant people to join them, and so on and so forth. And then if we're successful, the same newspaper could pass it on to other newspapers, and maybe it would catch on in every community.
Right.
You know? I don't have a lot of tools. I mean, I have a lot of tools, but I don't have all the tools necessary to make certain things. You know? But together, combined, I would be willing to bring my welder to the shop and add it to the deal, you know? I'd be willing to bring my tools and add it to the deal, and we could sit there and we could do some research together. Other brilliant minds, other mechanics and carpenters and fabricators and such.
Mm-hmm.
that's how we're going to get this thing started. And it could literally spark off new industry by different deals. And to finally end up funding it, you could have somebody who's a businessman in the mix who would watch the process and see how things are going. Somebody that knows the system that could, over time, maybe even patent or copyright something under the community's name, so that any funds that came in there would be fed back into that community that they could then use to pay the light bill in the doggone building, for Pete's sake. I mean, these are all really good. I mean, that's
why
brilliant.
Is Pete's name always the one that's being used to set up the electric?
I don't know. Maybe it's kind of racist. Sam's sake, Bill's sake, for Bob's sake, Charlie's sake, and Judy and Gladys and Maurice and
Egon's sake.
For everybody's sake.
Yes.
Because if there is a problem in the community, such as trash in the creeks and streams, there could be a organized deal to go down there and get that trash out of the creeks, re-smelt the iron and use it, re-smelt the plastic and the rubber, and find these materials, find uses for these materials that would be beneficial for the community as a whole.
I just want to know what Will did to Pete. Because, I mean, fire at Will, for Pete's sake.
I don't know, but you know that deal where people go past the golf course and holler out their car the word four?
Oh, man.
So that everybody on the golf course will duck? Well, actually...
Is that kind of like running into a fire station yelling theater?
Yeah. If you actually look up where the phrase four on a golf course comes, actually an old military term that they used to, back when they used to line up in lines, and then the first row would fire, and then they'd holler, "Where before?" And the next line, that first line would drop down, or otherwise they'd get shot in the head by the next line that was getting ready to fire.
Back whenever they had to spend 10 minutes loading a musket ball?
Yeah.
Couldn't just pull the trigger again and squeeze one off.
So hope that you're in the back of that line. I mean, the very back row. You might have a little bit more time to survive. Anyway, common sense, folks. That's all we're asking. Common sense and a little bit of spread some messages. If you think that we're...
Horse sense.
Yeah, horse sense. Something.
Just horse sense. It's better than horse feathers.
If you like these shows and you like what we're talking about, spread them to your social media networks out there, Tell your friends about it. Get them to come in and listen in. Get them to join in.
Get together with your friends and start talking about these ideas and solutions,
Yep. Might actually
spark off a little action. Who knows, man?
Start you a little group in your own neighborhood of your own neighbors and friends.
I think you should slap a warning on your show. Warning. May actually cause potential solutions to occur and changes in your world.
Yeah. That's it. Common sense ahead.
Common sense ahead.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is...
Common sense in ahead?
Maybe. But see, look. If the world is as messed up as we're told... And if there is a terrorist behind every bush, there are motion sensors that will let you know when that terrorist is behind the bush. So let's put motion sensors in all the bushes and alarms to allow you to know that there is a terrorist behind the bush. If the boogeyman...
I say for every camera the government's setting up to watch you, set up a camera to watch the government.
Yeah. Why not? What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Mm-hmm.
Cops say that they can film you, but you can't film them in some communities. How's that work?
Shoot.
No, you gotta rely on our dash cam for your evidence that we may or may not edit. We lost the dash cam evidence because the guy said that the cop's the one that did it. So... That's kind of suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, We got the tools, we got the technology. Now we need the willpower. We need the get up and go kind of thing.
We need to use that get up and go before it gets up and went.
Yeah. His get up and go just got up and went.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know about y'all out there, but I got grandchildren. And I don't want my grandchildren raised up in a post-apocalyptic world or in the midst of a war zone or worse, you know. I don't want my family being violated by some radical nutcase that thinks he's got to kill people and chop their heads off under their version of what they believe to be God.
On the other hand, you don't want to raise your children up to go over there and try to behead them and kill them because they don't believe in your version of God.
I'd like to send my children over there on vacation to have a barbecue with the folks and tell stories about their fishing trips and fun and peace and love kind of issues, you know? Make s'mores out there on the fire while they're sitting around, you know, getting along. I want to send my kids over here to kill somebody else's kids. That's not peace and love, man. Now, if I sound like a doggone old hippie because I'm always saying peace and love and can't we all just get along, isn't that the kind of world that you'd prefer to live in? I mean, I'm sure there's some folks out there that are really into the whole violence, I want to be an army man and blow stuff up kind of thing. It's exciting, you know. But believe me, it ain't 4th of July. It's not you pop a firecracker and run off and everybody's good. It's like you pop a firecracker and somebody loses a leg or potentially you lose the leg. So if you don't mind losing a leg
or
an eye or your life, yeah. right now, I'm pro-gun. I want everybody to have guns. And I'm going to say it because I think we live in a dangerous world. And until we resolve the crisis of common sense, I think I want a gun in my house so that I can protect my family from those folks out there who want to come and take my family's life or worse. You know? And so until we all get to the point of enlightenment that where we are actually using the knowledge that is right there before our very eyes and the resources of this world the way that we could. I mean, you want free energy, it's out there. And I don't care who wants to mince words or twist or however they want to say. When's the last time you got a bill from the sun? When's the last time you got a bill from the wind? When that 300 mile an hour wind came through there and ripped your house all to shreds, you had to buy a new house. And you did have to pay for the insurance, but that wind came at no cost. It was all free energy. It's not the free energy you wanted because you didn't contain it, but nonetheless, you didn't get a bill from the wind itself. There was no bill of lading. All I'm saying is that nature has provided. Whether you believe in God or not believe in God, whether you believe in a divine creation or it's all a doggone accident, fact remains, nature has provided every single thing you need to feed each other, to house each other, to clothe each other, and or to war with one another, whichever your choice is. The fact is, you got the free will, you got the choice. You can choose to be supporting your mad science guy who's going to give you the tools and the ideas for advancement in society so someday some of y'all get the pleasure of maybe flying to another planet and seeing what's going on over there with your brothers and sisters or whatever. And if the earth is flat and covered by a dome and you try to fly up there and hit your face, maybe you might not want to do that again. You know what I mean?
At least you'll know.
Yeah, at least you'll know the truth. They say the truth.
Prison planet.
Yeah, they say the truth to set you free. And if we are in a prison planet, a good question is how we get here and why we here and who's
and
on the other side.
What can we do to get back out?
There you go, man. We'll be tunneling under the dome or blasting through it. Oh, man. It just never ends.
Blast the hole in it. Leave all the air out.
Yeah, that'd be our luck. We'd blow a hole in and suck all us out into the vacuum of space. if space even exists, because there's a question, does space exist? Are stars just little twinkling lights on the roof of the dome, or what? I don't know, man.
Pinholes.
Pigeonholes?
Pinholes.
Oh, pinholes.
Pigeonholes? Where's pigeons coming from? Murder, man.
But like I said, nothing in this world would surprise me. And if you're waiting around for aliens to come down and resolve it, you better think twice, because if you ever watch the movies and you saw Mars Attacks, they come down and said, ack, 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 which loosely translated means we come in peace, right before they begun to shoot.
Do not run. We are your friends.
Yeah. And they shot the dove, man. Our symbol of peace. They were talking about how they were going to send lasers into space to communicate with the planets to see if there was life on other planets. And
you
I was saying,
piece. You go in pieces.
Does that really seem like a brilliant idea? Because that could actually be seen as an act of aggression. You just shot a laser across the bow of their super ship, spaceship, and now they're going to come there with the mothership and send all their little ships down to mop you because you just started a war with them? Maybe lasers aren't the best idea to communicate. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Before we go over there and try to introduce ourselves to their house, we should simply try to get our house in order first.
That's right.
And for just such an emergency that maybe they might not be as friendly as we would like them to be when they show up, if they turn out to be like brain-sucking lizards or, eyeball leeches or big giant looking octopus.
Well, first we need to get rid of the brain sucking leeches here on our planet before we go ahead and start worrying about brain sucking leeches from other planets.
Yeah. But shouldn't we have a contingency plan just in case for just such an emergency so that we're not caught unaware?
Well, if we don't know how to deal with our own brain sucking leeches, how are we going to figure out how to deal with other world's brain sucking leeches?
Well, that's the point. We need to get our act together. We need to build a big old ping pong paddle the size of freaking Texas to put up there to slap them meteors back into space or something. Which then could start an intergalactic war as well, because if we slap a ping pong, giant ping pong paddle at a meteor and it goes over and blasts a hole in somebody else's planet, they're going to come over here for some retribution or some payback. So maybe we ought to know what we're doing.
They have their own ping pong paddle and start swatting them back at us.
Maybe what we do is we figure out a way to capture that iron meteorite and bring it down to the Earth safely and mine it for its materials.
Or mine it in space and just send the resources and the finished goods down here?
Yeah. Make your monkey wrenches in space. That would be a good logo for a business. We make our monkey wrenches in space. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Vacuum-hearted carbon steel.
Vacuum purified carbon-hardened steel.
Yeah, there you go. So, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's common sense, there is some good results. So that's what we need. We need common sense. We need people out there with common sense. We need brilliant minds from all over the globe to decide to put down the firearms and put up the school books and pick up the tools and so on and so forth. We can fix this planet if we want. You know, it's got to be the case of everybody wants. And right now, people too busy playing Pokemon Go and falling off of cliffs and running into stop signs and smashing their cars and doing ridiculous stuff. You know? It's easier to drink a bottle of liquor and get drunk and wash your sorrows away and that. Then the next morning you go up and you take some medicine that you got from the pharmacy or the over-the-counter drugs, and basically you make the machine stronger because you just bought their liquor and you bought their drugs and probably the ice pack that you put on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So, feed the beast and keep the same two-party system, or create your own
reality is being manufactured, networks. And it's affordable. It's available.
Yeah. You put it right in the people's hands, and they don't have to go to a third party to get it. Think about this. By the time it's made over in Mexico, looks like a Los Thomas. By the time it's made in Mexico and makes it to the distributors and then through all the second parties and third parties and finally into the store, it's at the very least a 300% markup. Thomas, are you back? Apparently not.
No.
No. There he is. He's not back. We're talking to his Echo. Alright, well, we're down to the last 5 minutes there, brother. I know I've been told that I'm standing on a soapbox. I've been told that I repeat myself a lot. I've been told that I talk about the same old things over and over again. I've been told that I do this radio show on everybody else's research. Which, if you go look at my YouTube channel, there's over 200 and some odd videos on there that I think that I have put my more than fair share of research in there, and I do talk about my videos now and then, but most generally I'm trying to share other people's videos so that you'll get out there and subscribe to their YouTube channels and open dialogue with them and create more stuff from the ideas. I don't care whether you get the idea from me or whether you get the idea from somebody else, whether you listen to this network or that
I'd
network.
I'd say those who complain about you doing talking about other people's research need to get off their high horse and stop assuming that each person has to have the world revolve around themselves.
Yeah.
You know, that's like those people saying that. I'm assuming those people now, after that a statement like that, that if they had their own show, the whole show would be nothing but them tooting their own horn.
Well, one thing about the world revolving around old Shaziz is the fact that if the world revolves around the sun and the sun is as big as they say, and it takes quite a long time for us to go around the sun. If the world is revolving around this skinny old mad science guy, it's going to be hauling butt, man. it ain't got much to try. You're going to get dizzy.
Are you saying it'd be like revolving around a singularity?
Yeah, that's it. The pinpoint
in time
and space.
Just a little pinpoint
in
space.
I'm getting sick, man. Can we go back around the sun? I'm going to throw up. That's the truth of the matter. The world doesn't revolve around Shaziz or Shaziz Radio. And I'm sure that all the affiliated networks feel the same. We don't care where you get your information, just as long as you're getting your information and sharing it, because the whole process is about making the world a better place and getting solutions on the table and getting people motivated to take those solutions and do something positive to
get
the world.
Some solutions off the table and put them in the field.
Yeah, get them to work. We told you about chemistry and electricity and all kinds of stuff. We pointed out other people's research. It's out there. You have a plethora, a huge buffet of knowledge at your disposal. And if you don't use it now, somebody in the future is going to be looking back and saying, you know what? These folks back here must have been some lazy individuals. Look at the mess we got.
You know, if you don't use it for your benefit, somebody else will use it against your benefit.
Yep. It's what's going on in society today. Technology's getting so incredibly advanced that they got a million and one, if not a billion and one, ways to spy on you. You know, and tax you for it. You are paying for the cameras that are looking in your pockets.
In your colon.
In your colon. Yeah. So, you're paying for all the cameras, you're paying for the bars on your jail cells, you're paying for the wars and the rumors of wars and the propaganda and the high-priced toxic waste that they call food these days. You're paying
sponges.
For the diseases and the
sponge burgers.
So, if we the people, those three big words over there, if we the people get our act together, we can literally build a system right underneath this pyramid, and when we get done with it, we can just shove the pyramid off to the side and tell the the minority now, which is the elite of the world. Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, they need to stop seeing it as we the peons and finish reading that, we the people.
Yep, that's right. Anyway, that's it. That's the Mad Science Show, folks. If you like this, the podcast will be up right shortly. It'll be on Auto DJ at some point in time. There's tons of shows playing on Shaziz Radio all the time. Go back and listen to what we said. If you like what we said, you want to be a host or contributor, just jump in there. All you got to do to contribute is throw some comments in the chat room, either on the Wake Radio side or Shaziz Radio side, or any of the other affiliated network sites. There's links galore, and there'll be more coming on the way. And share the podcast with your friends and family. Tell them that we actually have an idea, we have a choice. And build those shops in your communities and invite people in to solve the issues that need to be resolved in your community and move on that way. That's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show. You got anything last to say, Thomas? No?
Nope.
It's dark underneath the bus. It's greasy down here. Kind of shady, but it's lonely.
Shady? Who's being shady?
I don't know. Slim Shady.
Slim Shady?
Yeah, well, a real Slim Shady, please stand up. You've been listening to Mad Science. If you guys see Elvis, let me know. Take care. Peace and love.
Elvis.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.